for all you good, moral, Christian people who are complaining that breasts and vaginas are obscene. Hey, don't complain to me. Complain to the manufacturer. Okay? And although Jesus told us not to judge, I know you're going to judge anyway, so judge sanely. Judge with your eyes open. What do you consider obscene? Is this obscene to you?
Next time on the back of Don and Mike.
Shame on you, Tony Perkins, that we were thrilled that you gave us that little plug on Good Morning America. Why would you think that we were going to use this opportunity to bust your balls?
I didn't really think that, but, you know, I've listened to the show for so long, all of a sudden I just realized, wait a minute, I know what these guys do.
Not to you, Tony. I'm going to tell you, Al Roker has done dick for us. You are the only national weather guy that's ever said our name on it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike Show. Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Here is a guy from Spokane, Washington, who wants to talk about Elvis's positives.
Okay.
Really?
We haven't even started the Elvis show yet. Hello, Norm.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi, Norm.
How you doing?
We're doing great, thank you.
Right on.
Right on to you, sir.
What are some of his positives?
Elvis.
Nobody could eat food lying down in his bed with his hands better than Elvis?
We're going to have the TV glasses story on our Elvis is Still Dead show today.
Good.
Right on. Good. Three Grammys, all for religious, spiritual music.
Hey, listen, Norm, have you even heard our Elvis show yet?
Oh, yeah. I heard parts of it last year. I heard some really rare stuff from Las Vegas that I had no idea how you guys got a hold of it, but
yeah, we got good Elvis stuff. You should let us get into the show before you want to try to balance it out with the positive stuff about Elvis.
Yeah, I didn't know what timing would be good to call.
Now, well, wait until we really get into it, and then if you're really a serious Elvis supporter, then we can really you know go round and round with you.
Yeah, but I'm not one-sided. I'm not one-sided on the issues of Elvis. I've spent 20 years researching the man, and
so have we.
It goes both ways. Oh yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I've devoted a great deal of time.
You're telling us that because this might actually be a scoop. You're telling us that Elvis goes both ways?
No.
We had heard that. You remember a couple of years ago on one of our Elvis shows?
Oh geez.
We had heard a report that Elvis
stole in a car wreck.
Heard a report that Elvis was gay, and we had one of the members of the Memphis Mafia on the phone. We asked him about it, and
got very upset.
The guy ended the interview when we alleged that we heard that Elvis might be gay.
Marty Lacker.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, what I meant is Elvis had a good side and a bad side. I'm not going to say he was all great, and I'm not going to say he was all bad.
But had you heard the reports that he might have been gay?
Oh, I heard some little snippet out of some trashy magazine.
No, not that there's anything wrong with that. I mean, if Elvis was gay, some fine musicians
they've done everything to him, really, but that, haven't they? I mean, they had him as a womanizer.
No, can't you picture Elvis bent over a toilet somewhere?
No.
And some guy coming up and Elvis catching and that guy pitching?
I don't think so.
We've read a number of stories that said Elvis was experimental, sexually.
Yeah.
He liked to have cameras and...
But not with men.
Well, we don't really know that.
Proven fact.
It was pretty, how many major rock stars...
I think he might have been gay. I'll give you this. He was bi.
How many major rock stars surrounded themselves with men? You know, he had men, a large group of 7 or 8 men wherever he went.
Yeah, and also never without a woman, ever.
Oh, no, many times, just Elvis and the boys.
In the back of the limousine. It wasn't just like, I know it was
his pool parties. He would have the pool parties with just boys there.
And he'd have nine guys.
All those Bel Air, California parties, hundreds of women.
No. What about where they were shooting out the cameras? When they got a bunch of flash bulbs and they were shooting him in Elvis's pool, that was just Elvis and the boys.
Yeah.
What about when Elvis was working karate, and he was surrounded by a bunch of men in robes?
Yeah, but Linda Thompson accompanied him a lot to that, and Ginger Alden.
And Elvis wasn't giving it to them at that point, please.
Well, he was in bed with he was 42, Ginger Alden was 19.
Listen, face the fact, there's at least a 70% chance that your man Elvis was gay.
Where do you get 70%? What?
Maybe higher than that.
What? Come on, you guys are letting me down.
It doesn't change my love and respect for Elvis, the fact that he probably bent over and let another man take him anally.
Oh, my... Oh, jeez.
Or that perhaps Elvis himself would bend a man over and Elvis would do
here
the taking.
You're called with positive Elvis and you turn this thing around.
Well, you know, you never know. You know, we don't really know. We probably never will really know.
I can't honestly say yes or no because I wasn't there.
Right, so listen,
this is 70%
all
chance.
Research,
all we're doing is telling you there's a chance.
In all the research, I mean...
There's a 70% chance Elvis was gay.
Nobody knew this about Rock Hudson, right?
Right. We knew it. It's a great example. We knew it 20 years before, though.
You did?
Yes. Well documented, sir.
Really?
Really.
Well, the general public didn't know on Rock.
He didn't have many friends.
No.
But he had neighbors up the ass.
Bada bing.
Pretty obvious on Liberace, though.
Yeah, we were way out on that one, too, though.
Yeah.
But we knew that about Liberace back, you know, before he started wearing the fur coats and the sequins.
Right.
So we knew that.
You know, your man Elvis, he was a great rocker.
Right.
You know, so maybe he enjoyed tongue-kissing other men.
I don't know. Can't even buy that. Won't even go there.
Maybe, listen, why can't you still enjoy his music and also admit to the fact that perhaps Elvis was on occasion filleted by members of his mafia?
No, there's more to it than music.
Let me direct your attention towards, I guess it would today be referred to as a music video, the song Jailhouse Rock, and the choreography surrounding that from the film Jailhouse Rock. I'd like you to examine that bit of choreography and, you know, come away with your own conclusions, but note the way Elvis interacts with the other male dancers.
I understand this. And there's some dance scenes from the 68 comeback.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Listen, dear boy, there's a 75% chance Elvis was gay.
But on all the...
If you came down to your breakfast table in the 1960s, late 1960s, wearing that leather jumpsuit that Elvis, that black leather jumpsuit, you know, people might talk.
And what do you think those... Who changed him when he pooped in his pants at night? Yeah, boys changed him. His boys came in and changed his poopy diapers.
There was some evidence of that. I had to get a towel or something.
Listen, there was an 80% chance he was gay. I mean, deal with it.
The reason he crapped his drawers, it was because of the heavy sedation from 14 different kinds of drugs on an average.
Right.
The man, drug tolerance, could kill horses with the amount of drugs he took at one time.
Robbie, you want to say something?
Just got a couple questions for the guy. I myself am an Elvis fan, too. Do you recall the decorating motif of Elvis's boyhood bedroom?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
wasn't it all pink, Rob?
With taffeta and ruffles and stuff
It was rather unusual.
And he liked putting makeup on his little girlfriends, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. 85%. There's now gone up to an 85% chance he was gay.
In the early 50s, who was his best friend? I'll give you a hint. He worked on the show The Rebel.
James Dean?
No. The Rebel.
Oh, The Rebel. Oh,
Nick Adams.
I can't think of his name.
His sexual preference was what again? Help me.
It's probably talking about stuff that normal people have no idea.
Yeah, but I mean, it's all stuff that adds up. So, sir, you're not willing to admit there's even a chance?
I'd say that there was a chance.
Mm-hmm. Right, there's a 90% chance.
Oh, now wait a minute. It's gone from 70 to 90.
You're telling us there's a chance.
Before I'm done talking here, I'm going to have him convicted of being 100%.
Now, convicted is the wrong word.
You wouldn't be convicted?
Nothing wrong with that. Some of our most creative people in this country are gay have been gay.
He was a strong Southern Baptist.
Well, I know. Now,
is there a moral issue here?
No, there's a lot of evidence that will point to the fact that perhaps he was raised a strong moral Baptist, but, you know,
he didn't go to church the last 20 years of his life.
Listen.
Well, he couldn't. He can't be Elvis Presley in church.
Your boy was a pole smoker. It does not change the fact that he's one of the greatest rockers ever, and we're trying to devote a show to him, man.
Right on.
Right on.
So would you let us get on with our tribute?
Sorry, man.
And get that image out of your mind. Elvis pulling down his jumpsuit, bending over a toilet.
Oh, my God.
And some man coming up and taking him from behind.
Oh, my.
I just can't.
Elvis squealing with delight. Oh, man, that's great. I love anal sex.
Oh.
That's rad. That's so good when you give it to me, man. Oh, I love being gay.
Guys, I'll
it's great being gay.
I'll still keep it open.
I was gay in the Army, man. Me and all those men in the showers together. Ooh, it will fascinate you.
I would have thought more guys would have talked about that aspect if there was any truth to it.
Now, we had to consider it just done.
I
want to tell you something, man.
Lived with him.
This is Elvis Presley. I love it up the butt.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God, I love it up the butt. That's a little known fact about me.
All right.
At one time, I flirted Wayne Newton.
Oh, God.
You were super. Thank you, sir.
All right.
All right.
See ya.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
Bye. Right.
Bye. Hang up.
I thought that went very well.
Sure. Okay. Let's start the Elvis show.
Hey.
You know, normally we don't get a call like that until we've actually started the Elvis show.
Right.
Let's start with the Elvis oath, the TCB oath.
Very good. We're going to take the oath now.
I want to tell you something, man.
Yeah, ma'am?
A humped Ed Sullivan.
Are you listening to me right now?
I'm telling you something, man.
I wonder if you want some tonight, Ed.
Dick Clark gave me a hummer.
Oh,
this is Elvis Presley.
Hey.
Okay, the TCB oath. Now, this is an actual oath that was written by Elvis in 1971 mm-hmm. on an airplane from L.A. to Memphis.
Where Elvis did some of his best work.
Okay, Elvis wrote this, his little oath for all the boys.
We're going to take it?
Right now.
Okay.
You raise your right hand, please. More self-respect.
More self-respect.
More respect for fellow man.
More respect for fellow man, man.
Respect for fellow students and instructors.
Respect for fellow students and instructors.
Respect for all styles and techniques.
Respect for all styles and techniques, man.
Body conditioning.
Body conditioning.
Mental conditioning. Meditation for calming and stilling of the mind and body.
Meditation for calming and stilling of the mind and body.
Sharpen your skills. Increase mental awareness.
What?
Increase mental awareness.
Increase mental awareness.
For all those who might choose a new outlook. And personal philosophy. Freedom from constipation.
Freedom from constipation.
TCB technique. All techniques into one. Elvis Presley 8. Apply all techniques into one. Amen.
There's the Elvis Presley. It was written on a plane.
Yeah, and every time we read that, without fail, someone will call and say, why did they have to say freedom from constipation? Elvis wrote that himself into his TCB oath. Mm-hmm. And when Elvis wrote 8, it didn't mean that he thinks like he's Henry VIII I am.
Right.
It's because supposedly Elvis had an 8-degree black belt in karate.
It isn't an 8-degree black belt, like very, makes you a human weapon, like you're a very dangerous guy. We've seen some of the video of Elvis.
It does, but Elvis's people built him up to think that he was better at karate than he really was.
Yeah, he'd come out on stage and it would be like almost like an extra in a Jackie Chan movie where Elvis would barely touch the guy and the guy would fall down and go, oh, E, you're so great.
Right.
Come over here, Elvis.
These are great moves. I will incorporate some of them into my stage act.
Come over here and kiss me now, Elvis. Kiss me hard on the mouth. And then take me, Elvis.
Take me.
Here is an article from some newspaper. I don't even know what newspaper this is from. From where, Robbie?
Fredericksburg,
Virginia, Sunday paper. A big article about Michael Hoover, who's been on our show plenty of times. He's an Elvis impersonator.
Mm-hmm.
And he actually, gave us a little plug in this article that I want to share with you.
Okay.
Here's Michael Hoover. As you see, he's wearing his Elvis jumpsuit.
Hey.
Says, Elvis impersonator draws fawning fans. And it's a whole big story about how this guy does an Elvis show.
Mm-hmm.
And then halfway through, it mentions he met Roseanne and Tom Arnold, because they were big Elvis fans.
Mm-hmm.
Roseanne's then husband, Tom Arnold, hired Michael Hoover to perform at Roseanne's 40th birthday party.
Mm-hmm.
Hoover has also been a guest many times on the nationally syndicated Don and Mike radio show.
Very good.
Broadcast in Washington by home station WJFK. For Don and Mike, the nearly religious fervor many fans feel for Elvis is comedic fodder. They have traveled to Graceland to mock those pilgrimages to see the eternal flame. They joke about how fat Elvis was at the end, how much his colon weighed at the time of his autopsy, and about Elvis's appetite for drugs and food in his later years. Michael Hoover says he's not personally offended by Don and Mike's jokes.
All right.
I see the humor in it. This is a job for me. I don't take it very seriously. Don and Mike are professionals at what they do, and they're doing their job, too.
Oh, man, way to go. Cool. Very nice. He's got it together.
So we thank Michael Hoover for a nice little plug there, because, you know, when he used to be on our show on a more regular basis,
right,
he would take a lot of crap from real Elvis fans. Because we would have him on in the midst of all of our Elvis stuff. He would really come out and do a real performance.
And he's
us.
A great Elvis impersonator. He does a great job. He really does.
About the list of the stuff Elvis had in his pantry? You know, I'm not even going to read it this year.
You don't need to.
I think someone out there must have that list already.
Anybody that has heard you promote the fact that we were going to do this show, I know, has that list.
Every year we read a list of the 31 items that Elvis insisted be kept in the Graceland pantry at all times.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got that list, be the first to call us on our new toll-free at 1-877-365-3636. You will win a prize.
Excellent.
That list is not to be confused with the list of the stuff that Elvis wanted kept in his cigar box.
That's right, his cigar box, which he took with him on the road, and he had stuff in there that he had to have all the time.
And that is also not to be confused with the list and the contents of Elvis's stomach
at the time of his death. Right.
We've got so many great Elvis lists. Oh, we really do.
For that list, you better be able to spell I-N-E.
You want to start today with the Elvis food addict story?
Yes, absolutely.
Hold on. Let me see if we got a winner here first. All righty, we got a winner. Yep. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, this is Elvis. I like speaking Don and Mike again.
Do you have the list, my friend?
The list.
The list.
No, I don't have the list.
The list of what you used to have in your kitchen.
No, I just like to tell them why TCB in the bed at night.
Why you what in the bed at night?
TCB take care of business in bed.
Why did you take care of business in bed?
My sphincter muscles were stretched out of shape. Yeah.
Oh, my.
You know, the colonel had a big cigar.
Oh, God.
All right. Yeah. Hello there, Don and Mike Show. Hello. All right, well, I guess we don't have that list yet.
Maybe people are, you know, the people with the list. That'd be a real dilemma if somebody with the list didn't have the new phone number.
1-877-365-3636. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Do you guys ever think about trying to get 1-800-DON-MIKE?
Yeah, I'll tell you something. That was actually offered to me as a phone number for the show. I find that when someone gives out a number like that, I hate it.
Yeah.
It's impossible to look down and try to spell it out every time. It's so goddamn cutesy, it's stupid. No, absolutely not.
The tough one's just difficult to remember. The new one, rather.
Oh, you'll remember it. You'll remember it. Just take a couple days to get it down.
I remembered it this time.
And if you must remember it, you know,
think of a well-proportioned woman. That is the best way to remember it. 1-877-365-3636.
Mm-hmm. I didn't even realize this until I heard the tape that the promotions guy made. That actually it is 365-DM-DM.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know. So someone snuck that one by me.
Right.
But no, it's 1-877-365-3636.
Well, great Elvis show so far, guys.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
The number that I wanted, really, which we couldn't get, was 1-877-666-6666. That number is already taken.
I bet it is. Somebody already has it.
Absolutely. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yes, I have the list for the pantry.
Do you have the list of 31 items that Elvis demanded be kept in his pantry at all times?
Yes, I do.
Right, hold on. Let me get some music here. I'm not even prepared for this.
Now, new listeners should copy down this list so they'll be ready for next year.
Don't give them any tips, Buzz.
I won't.
All right, hold on. Let me get my music ready. I have a fabulous prize package selected especially for you if you got it. What's your name, sir?
John.
Johnny, where are you calling from?
Wichita.
You know, the only advice I would have for our listeners, that this is, I think, a very good way to stock your own pantry at home. Keep these items. Rob gave me the thumbs up on that. I agree. You know, keep these things in your house at all times.
We're ready. 31 items. Go.
Number one, jelly. Number two, number three, maple syrup. Number four.
He did not have the list, ladies and gentlemen.
And you went through all that work to get the music on. What is the music that's playing here?
It's some symphony version of That's All Right by Elvis.
I haven't heard this yet.
I mainly play the instrumental version. I know you've heard this one before on an Elvis show. The instrumental version of Suspicious Minds. Too much Elvis stuff, man.
I know we do. But it's fun.
You know, it's one day a year that Elvis died.
Yeah, but it keeps on giving.
We still go with it, don't we? We're calling a tramp. God.
I'm so gay and I don't care who knows it.
90% the chance is going up to zero.
I like it in the butt.
Doing a show for one guy in Spokane, Washington.
Yeah, he's loving it right now. Right, just sitting there, you know, in the Indian style, shaking his head.
There's a guy in Greenville, Chris, who says he has a list. Chris.
Don, Mike.
You really have the list?
Buddy.
All 31 items?
I'll try my best.
All right, go. Here's Chris.
Man, we got PJ.
No.
That are calling. No,
you can't guess. There's an actual list that we read every year on this show.
I know, I got it.
No, you don't. No. It's a specific list.
No, and peanut butter and jelly is not on the list, man. I mean, it's on the list, but it's not item number one.
Oh, man. All right.
All right, thank you.
Bye-bye. Now, this is the music that plays in Rob's head all the time.
When Rob is driving down the road on his way to work.
They'll be cruel. Up the butt, Tony Orlando too. I wish I could have Tom Jones. I'm so gay. I'm gay every day. Well, I like a big old butt. I like it a whole lot. I'm gay. Hello, Mr. Spokane. This show's for you.
Okay, that's enough.
All right.
Let's get... Okay, we got to do a commercial break.
We do.
Let's try one more guy with the list. Hello, Don and Mike.
Is this me?
You got the list?
Yes.
Really?
Really.
What's the first item on the list?
The first item on the list that I have is fresh, lean, unfrozen ground beef. One case, regular Pepsi.
We may have an actual player here.
Mm-hmm. One case, orange drinks, rolls, brown and serve, cans of biscuits, at least six. Hamburger buns, pickles, potatoes, onions, assorted fresh fruit, sauerkraut, wieners, milk, half and half, thin lean bacon, mustard, peanut butter.
Hey, buddy.
Yes.
Sell it a little bit, okay? Come on, this is what Elvis had in his pantry. Slow down just a little bit.
Fresh squeezed cold orange juice, banana pudding to be made each night.
Right.
Meatloaf and sauce, ingredients for meatloaf and sauce.
Right.
Brownies. Ice cream, vanilla, and chocolate.
Yes.
Coconut, fudge cookies, and gum. Spearmint, double mint, juicy fruit. Three of each.
This guy's got the list.
Wow. He's got the list, yeah. He's going through it, rapid fire.
I'm excited. Okay. First time caller.
Next item?
That's all that I have. On the internet.
No, that is not a complete list, sir.
And that is another reason why you can never trust the internet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do I get a half-ass prize?
No, you don't get a half-ass prize.
No, besides, you didn't do the list justice. We're going to go...
Right, goodbye. Who are you?
Billy.
Where are you from, Billy?
I'm from Sacramento.
All right, Billy, thank
Justin
you.
Justin is listening. I want to say hi.
What?
My friend Justin is listening. I want to say hi.
All right, well, you're his hero.
Okay.
But next time, Billy, don't be a hero.
Good. We'll be back. After this.
The entertainment program, the best of Don and Mike.
We just got to see if we can take care of a small piece of business first. I promise this won't take long.
All right. She likes me for me.
We'll see if Ken's still in.
Yeah.
Hey, Ken.
Hey, Don.
Hi.
How are you?
Hey. Thanks. Thanks for that Baltimore thing.
Yes, sir.
That's all I wanted to say. Thanks.
What? I can't hear you.
That's all I wanted to say was thanks. Oh, listen, we're on the air now.
Yeah. What did you say? I didn't hear you.
Thanks for that Baltimore thing.
Oh, you're welcome.
No, you know, I don't mean it.
Oh, you don't?
No.
What?
You told me that wasn't going to happen. We had a meeting about that. And you said that wasn't going to happen.
Yeah, but then you very graciously said, if you have an opportunity to do this,
no.
Go ahead and do the...
No, the meeting ended when you said, it won't happen. I have a pre-existing agreement with you guys to run your show until it's over. That's exactly what you said to me. I swear to God.
Yeah, but you didn't give me an out on that for during football season?
I don't think so. I mean, I really don't.
Listen, I never would have done that if you didn't say, but...
No, I think
you can do this for football.
I was probably giving you lip service, saying I want you guys to make all the money you can. See, the problem is that they got a show in Baltimore with the coach of the Ravens, and it cuts into our show. They take us off. Originally, when you came to me, said it was 6:30.
Now, what time is the show going to be coming on?
10?
That's 7.
7 o'clock?
7.
Ugh.
You know, we go for an extra half hour.
Yeah, of course we do.
That. And Ken had said to me that it was that our pre-existing agreement would supersede that, and I'm only calling you now because I just heard about that a moment ago when Big Gum Jim came down and said, hey,
Charlie Broyhill really has something to tell you.
And I went to Broyhill and I said, what is it? And he said, hey, you guys are being preempted in Baltimore for the coach of the Ravens. And I said, well, I talked with Ken about that. And he said, oh, Ken told me, this is Broyhill now, Ken told me he forgot to tell you about that.
Well, I forgot. I mean, I forgot to tell you that I was taking you up on what I thought was the agreement that, you know, I could cut out at that network point. No?
No, Ken, I swear to God.
I wouldn't have done that because that's why I asked you in the first place.
Is this the way you know, I don't sit in on these meetings. Is this the way the meetings go when you guys are, like, in Ken's office?
No, the meetings don't go anywhere. The way the meeting happens is Ken says, hey, I need to take you guys off 2 nights a week at 6:30, and I said, absolutely not. And then he said, well, you know, I want you to be a team player. And I said, I'm all for you guys making money. But no. And then he said to me, you're right. We have a pre-existing agreement with you. As a matter of fact, you said to me, how can I tell other stations not to preempt you if I preempt you? And I said, great, end of meeting. And we talked about something else. That's how the meeting went. I swear to God, that's how the meeting went. I swear to God.
And Ken, I hear you're breathing heavily, so I know you're thinking.
No, I don't know what to say.
Couldn't you guys have worked this out at the grocery store the other night? I mean, over groceries, couldn't this get worked out?
I never agreed to having our show butchered in Baltimore. Never. I swear to God, if I had said it, I would be a man, I'd admit it. I'd come out and say, yeah, I said I'd make a compromise. I didn't, because you came to me and said 6:30, and I said no, and then you said 7, and I said no, and I said, what about 7:30? There's not a great difference between 7 and 7:30, and that way we can make sure our show can be done. And you said to me, they can only do it if it starts at 6:30. And the last thing you said to me is, okay, you know what? I guess they're going to have to take the show to another station. That's exactly what you said to me. Exactly what you said to me. And I said, hey, I appreciate it.
I can hear that breathing. The studio is starting to fog up in here a little bit.
That's all. That's all. And I was unaware of this. I guess yesterday we got a lot of calls from Baltimore and we were cut off at 7.
You were cut off at 7 yesterday?
Yeah, last night for this guy's show.
Oh, man.
And I know that we had a meeting about stuff yesterday. You didn't mention a word about it to me yesterday. I mean, we had a long...
That's why I just remembered. The reason I didn't discuss it yesterday was because I just remembered today. They just reminded me.
Really, that goes against the agreement we had had. It really does.
Can I think about it?
Well, you run the radio station.
You're the man.
I mean, I can't, you know. I'm just telling you that when we had that meeting, I don't remember the meeting ending with me saying, hey, do what you have to do. I mean, I don't doubt that I would have said to you at some point in the meeting, hey, maybe we could compromise on this somehow. But I remember the meeting ending with you saying specifically, the show will have to go to another radio station. I'll just have to tell them that we'll pass on it. Isn't that how the meeting ended?
I don't remember, but that's certainly possible. I mean, I remember the tone of the conversation was clearly that you didn't want the show cut off for any reason.
Yeah, because it's in our backyard. It is in our backyard, and that's understandable. And, you know, the people that are in Baltimore, much like the people here in Washington, you know, that's the one privilege of being in either one of those cities is that you get the whole show. We talk about it. We brag about it. Yeah, we always say when other affiliates do it around the country, we always kind of say, you know,
live here.
Hey, live here. You know, that's how that you move to Baltimore or Washington. That's how you get the whole show because, you know, you run the show and you honor that, you know, that floating ending.
Right.
Or you have.
Well, I really don't remember. I mean, like I said, you're the general manager. But I never said yes to that. And I remember the meeting ending with you saying, hey, we'd have to pass on it. You know, let the show go somewhere else. Screw it. Because the pre-existing agreement you had...
You know, and I remember that being right, because at the time, there was no opportunity. It was either at 6 or 6:30 or not at all.
Right, so
and then the opportunity became, well, you know, if you can do it at 7...
Okay, well, you never brought that up with me. We never discussed that.
No, I realize that. Yeah, after that, I never came back to you, right? But I left the meeting with the impression that
sometimes
the show ends at 7 and it was not an issue.
You know, I just would appreciate if you gave us a heads up on this. Like I said, it's your radio station. You know, you can do what you want with it. But you did ask my opinion, and my opinion was no, that I would rather not have the show butchered. You know, two nights a week. Two nights a week for this coach's show. Wait, who's going to listen to that? I mean, I know you guys, the reason is because you're making money on it, right? You found a sponsor?
Right.
Right.
That's exactly right.
Okay. I would just appreciate being let in the loop on this.
Is 7:30 doable?
I asked him that when we had the meeting originally.
7:30, to be perfectly honest, although you never know, is usually when the show is over.
Well, I mean, it wasn't. It was clearly not available at 7:30. It would have gone to another station.
Which is what you told me was going to happen. I'm just reacting to the conversation we'd had and the meeting
that
we had.
I remember the conversation as you remind me. that when I left, I was sure that I would lose it to another station.
Sure.
But they agreed to compromise and come on at 7. And I mistakenly, I guess, thought that 7 was acceptable to you.
No, I mean, you know, I'd like to have that half hour back. So what, are they yanking us off tonight at 7?
Is it Monday?
It's Tuesday.
Tuesday?
Because originally, I remember the meeting we had. You told me it was a Monday and Tuesday show. Unless they had a Monday night game, then it would be a Tuesday and Wednesday show.
Mm.
And I said, that's just too much crap.
Right. I think it's a Monday and Tuesday show.
So we would be getting yanked again tonight.
Yes.
Okay. All right, thanks for the support. thanks.
Bye.
You know, what am I going to do?
I don't know.
I got to work with the frigging guy. So yeah, I can't scream at him.
It's his radio station.
That's right. I just don't like being lied to. That's all.
It's frustrating.
Just don't like being lied to, Ken. That's all.
You know, we do talk about it all the time. You know, we say it to people that say, hey, they're putting this baseball game on. They're putting this on. I say, well, you ever want to hear the whole show? Move to Baltimore or Washington.
Just be a man! Just say to me when I'm having a one-hour friggin' meeting with you yesterday. Just say, hey, I changed my mind.
No.
It's not his style, man. We gotta hear about it.
Was he in Baltimore today?
No, he's here today.
He's upstairs?
I just called him upstairs.
Okay.
He was here yesterday. I had a whole meeting with him about San Francisco and about Detroit and all that crap.
It's frustrating.
Oh, no kidding, it's frustrating.
You know, you need you to take one of those little tape recorders into that meeting.
Well, I'm telling you, I got the tape recorder right here between my ears, Mike.
Yeah,
I'm telling you.
I have personal experience with that tape recorder. It doesn't always work 100%. Take one in. Take an actual hard tape recorder in there. So No, wait a minute. Hear me out. Listen to me. Hear me out. When you take that tape recorder
I never agreed to that with him.
When you take the tape recorder... Record the meetings. You just so when he says, "I'm not sure that was,"
he knew he was lying, and at the end he admitted it.
Yeah, but I mean, for
even if I had a tape, though, what good would it do us if I had a tape of him saying, "Fine"?
Yeah, I know.
We're gonna pass
the tone,
on the show.
I know the tone. That's a done deal.
He lied.
That's a done deal.
You know, and we're screwed.
Yeah,
and that's all there is to it.
That's all there is to him. Yeah. We do have to work with him, and that's you know, that's
just appreciate knowing about that. You know, a heads up maybe.
Sure.
You know, before we go on the radio, so that Big Gum Jim doesn't come down here all happy, because, you know, he loves passing on bad news. Oh, you just better wait. Charlie's got something to tell you. Go, 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 go. Yeah. And I go to Broyhill, and he goes, hey, we got cut last night in Baltimore.
And tonight.
Yeah, and tonight.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. Just appreciate it. And I'll take the suggestion. I'll buy the tape recorder.
Tape the meetings.
I'll start taping them.
Just so you know when you see.
I mean, when the guy lies, though, what are we supposed to do with the tape, though?
He can't.
Wait, he just
If we have, he came around and he said, I remember, he actually came around completely. What the way that conversation went, I remember that now. Yes, you did not like that. That's how it ended. He agreed with your point of view and then said, no,
right.
My point is,
if we had a tape, right, and I had played him back the tape,
mm-hmm,
still at the same place.
Yeah.
He's not going to change his mind. He's still going to stay tough, you know.
One thing, and for future battles.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'm open to suggestions.
Yeah. Or maybe just bring a stenographer in there.
I'm with you.
See if Mr. Liddy would let you use lovely Julia Aurora.
It's frustrating.
It's frustrating because it's our backyard. It's not... I don't want people listening to this show to get confused for one second to not know why you're upset and why I'm upset about this. The real reason for this is... If you yield on stuff like this...
If you do it once...
They just start...
They start walking all over
they
you.
They do! And it's important. And you know something? The end of this show is important. The beginning of this show is important. The middle is important. And the whole package makes people that listen to this show feel like they're part of the whole thing.
And frankly...
And if it gets chopped off, then they... Hey, why did we get screwed?
They wanted to do that before. If you remember the Baltimore station before, they had the stupid Stan the Fan show from
Absolutely.
A restaurant on Monday night.
It was a battle back then, and we
right.
won that battle.
Right. Well, I guess we're in a battle again.
Right.
That's what we're in now, is another battle. Thank you, Ken. Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I don't understand how one person's half hour is more important than another person's half hour.
Right.
If that's a dilemma, it would seem to me the person that's using that half hour for the entire year would
correct
take precedence
well,
over
you know
the
what
individual.
It is? It's a bird in the hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he'll take the cash today that he'll get from running the coach of the Ravens. That's exactly what it is. He'll make an extra, I don't know what it is, $1,500 or whatever he's going to make.
I'm not aware of those coaches usually doing two full shows a week. I'm not. That doesn't seem normal.
Well,
is that normal?
No, that guy must be desperate because it's his first head coaching job.
Wrapped a little tight, if I remember my history.
But I guarantee you, he's not going to be doing any shtick, you know, making you laugh on your way home.
No.
You know, it'll be through a boring coaches show two nights a week.
And we got strip trivia coming up in just like a few days.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, you know, I don't know what to tell you, man. Sucks. It really sucks. Thank you, Ken. There you go. Our agent was right.
I was waiting for you to say that.
Our agent was right. Okay. All right. I'll buy a tape recorder.
I'll listen to our agent. Placate and move on.
Right. Yeah. Right. God damn it!
I know. It's frustrating.
And there's nothing we can do. We can yell and scream and we can make a big deal about it. It's not going to change. He's already made the goddamn decision.
He's
already done it.
That's why I always say, no matter how you slice it, we have wonderful jobs. We have great jobs. We have a lot of autonomy. We have a lot of power at this radio station. But the bottom line is, you and I work for the man like everybody else.
No kidding.
It's the way it is.
And he loves giving it to us up the butt. He loves giving it to us right up the old poop chute.
I think in many cases, he hopes that perhaps things will just remain the same and there will not be any knowledge of that going on, you know? And
yeah, right. Obviously.
He might enjoy it, but he certainly doesn't want us to know he enjoys it.
He wanted to push that through and hope that word would never get back to us.
Mm-hmm.
That we would never find out that he's cutting us off in Baltimore at 7 o'clock two nights a week.
It's a little frustrating because we like to use Baltimore and Washington as examples for, you know, for the whole network.
You know what? One thing he said is true. When I have a meeting with Ken, I'm open to compromise. If the MF-er had come to me and said, listen, I really need a compromise on this.
Mm-hmm.
But you know what he said to me? No. You are right.
Yeah.
I shouldn't compromise the integrity of your show. That's what he said to me. I don't doubt that I said to him at some point, I want you guys to make money.
Mm-hmm.
No, because when I'm in there, it's a two-way street.
All right.
Please. All right. Well, everybody in Baltimore, call your local station. You know, nothing we can do about it.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. I am not.
Another anal probe, thanks to Ken Stephens.
Not optimistic about this situation. Because, you know, if it was last night, it's tonight. It's a done deal already.
Yeah, he's already doing it.
The ink is dry.
He's doing it. It just pisses me off. I had an hour-long meeting with the guy yesterday. She doesn't bring it up once. And we discussed nothing but our network show.
Yeah.
We discussed San Francisco. We discussed the other thing I told you about.
How long is the show? How long is the show? I'm very curious about that.
I think it's 90 minutes.
Wow.
90 exciting minutes.
Okay.
With Brian Billick.
Belichick.
Billick.
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 Bill Belichick is
Bill
right.
Belichick. I'm sorry, I don't even have the guy's name.
Is it Bill Belichick?
Yeah. Yeah. Right. He's a new coach of the Ravens.
Right. He used to be a Giants assistant, then he head coaching.
Yeah, good luck. I'm sure he'll get you huge ratings with that show.
Sure, it'll really be a really big success.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks for being an upfront guy with us again.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, listen, we have guys to talk to about this.
We have lookalikes.
We have to do a commercial set, okay? I hope you can enjoy the goddamn soap opera that is our effing live here. Hope you enjoy it. You just heard two men be anally raped. Don't laugh. Your butt's bleeding as much as mine is.
Yes, it is. But don't laugh or cry.
I know.
There you go. And I don't. I'm not.
That's why I love working with you.
I'm not going
to
cry.
If I didn't have you here, I swear to God, I would be like that guy in Atlanta. You'd be hearing on the news, 20 radio executives today have been killed by a masked gunman who was upset that his radio station cut his show every night at 7.
Just don't want to get caught in the crossfire.
I would never kill you intentionally. Okay, time out. We'll be back.
The exactly what happened. One day your woman left early. You had the whole house to yourself. So you said, hey, let me get a little jerk before work. So you in the house getting your jerk on. Nice, good jerk, too. You know that? Ain't nobody in the house jerk. That's a good jerk. It ain't like that. Somebody in the next room jerk. That's a bad jerk. That's like, eh, who there? I don't like that jerk. I'm talking about the good jerk. That nobody ain't home jerk. So you get the Vaseline ready. And you just look at your dick and go scream if you want to. No one's gonna hear.
Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
We had two meltdowns yesterday on the show, one about Detroit and one about Baltimore, where, as it turns out, Ken Stevens, the general manager,
you know,
just flat out lied to us about the fact that he was going to be cutting the show off before it was done in Baltimore.
Right.
And we heard, frankly, yesterday, an awful lot of crap.
Mm-hmm.
Because people love calling it and piling on.
Yeah, saying it was the, you know, the, we were going to be cut off 5 nights a week, right, and all this stuff.
And that some other disc jockey up there was talking about us, and disc jockey has already been ordered not to talk about us.
A disc jockey we hate.
Right. Mm-hmm. So let's call Ken and see if he has settled any of those issues.
Just to see what the status is. And, of course, we'll start very pleasantly.
I thought we kept it pleasant yesterday.
I did, too.
You know, Ken's the one that unraveled yesterday.
But even he unraveled in a really funny way, where he was just like... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, right.
You know, I...
WDFK.
That's the Ken Stevens management tapes. Yes, hello, darling. This is Don and Mike. May we speak to Ken Stevens, please?
Well, hello, dearest. He's on another line.
Oh, it's so nice to hear that you're still working up there. I'm frankly surprised, but it's good to hear your voice again.
You're still working, aren't you?
Another one of the many station employees that loves us.
Absolutely.
I love you dearly.
Would you please tell Ken we are online?
Would you mind holding for a moment?
I would not in the least.
Thank you so very kindly.
Do you hear the forced civility of this conversation?
I love this lady. This is my favorite.
Well, I love you. Hold on.
Oh, sure. You love us, and we love you.
I know. You love me.
Love you. Love you. Love you. Nurse Ballbricker, love you.
She is the funniest of all the ones we call.
Hello?
Hello.
Ken, there he is.
Thank you.
We finally found you.
Oh.
Hi, Ken.
He's not here. He's out right now. Could I take a message?
We were just wondering, after our conversation yesterday, if you've done any checking into the Baltimore situation, if you have an update for us.
No, it's the same as it was yesterday. I mean, in what way?
Well, we heard, after we talked to you, that we were being preempted at 7 p.m. 5 nights a week.
Is that true?
That's true, during football season.
Five nights a week?
Was there an echo back there? Yeah.
We also heard that you were maybe going to rectify that situation.
We heard that you had been offered a wonderful solution to that. 5 nights a week, Ken.
That's horrible.
Christ. Five nights a week?
It was the money. Like I told you yesterday, it was an offer I couldn't refuse.
Wait, our show doesn't generate enough revenue for you?
No. I mean, yes, but I could get the same amount of revenue I get from your show, plus a whole bunch more.
Five nights a week? You're screwing us up there. No, come on, really. I'm being serious with you. I'm not doing a show now. I mean, I am, but I'm not.
I understand.
You're screwing us up there. Five nights a week?
We really thought it was a joke when a listener called yesterday and said five nights a week, and we thought it was like...
And furthermore, we hear that douchebag Stan the Fan is going on the air bragging about it.
So this isn't a coach's show, then? This is not a coach... This is basically...
It has nothing to do with Stan the Fan. Stan the Fan's not on these shows.
He's not.
I don't know where you got that information. But...
Well, somebody called us and said... Well, listen, the same person that told us... And incidentally, that's where we find everything out, is from listeners. The same person that told us we're being screwed five nights a week told us that Stan the Fan has been screaming about this, saying how great it is that we're being preempted.
I doubt that. I think we worked out... believe me, Stan the Fan is not looking to fight with you.
But listen,
right?
Okay, that aside, is he hosting any of these programs?
No. The only thing that I know of that Stan the Fan does that this guy might be thinking is there's a Monday night show that's been always been on.
At 7:30?
At 7:30 or
but
something.
But now what? That show's going to be on at 7?
No, the coach comes on at 7. The coach of the Baltimore Ravens does a show at 7, hosted by somebody else.
So you're telling me that... And we went through this yesterday, just briefly recap. We had a meeting where you told me this wouldn't happen. Then yesterday you told us it would only happen on Monday and Tuesday. Now you're saying it's going to happen Monday through Friday.
No, here's the deal. The original proposal was that the show runs, that the Ravens show would run on, Ravens shows would run Monday and Tuesday at 5:30 or 6:30, whatever they requested. You turned that down.
Yeah, right.
And my understanding was, and you corrected me yesterday, but my understanding was that you had said, but I understand your need to do this for the money. If you need to, you can leave at the 7 p.m. break.
I never said that to you, though.
Well, I'm telling you that's what I thought you said. Okay? This is what I remember. The next thing was I told you that it probably wouldn't happen then because they wouldn't do the deal without that kind of a start time.
And five nights a week? Five?
The answer, the trade-off was, okay, we'll do the deal, but if you give us the other 3 days of the week, we'll take the later start time. And I made that deal.
Okay, then again, in all of this, you know, where was the common courtesy just to tell us that this was going on?
I forgot. I mean, it wasn't not courtesy. It was, I forgot.
Come on, really, seriously.
Seriously.
No, you didn't forget.
I forgot.
No, you didn't forget. Come on.
I forgot.
You knew we'd be pissed about this. You know that this goes against everything.
Because I would have told you I was doing it anyway, and no matter how pissed you were, not the issue. I forgot.
Did it ever, and I understand money is the number one issue here, but don't you think that maybe when we, you know, we routinely go till 7:30 Monday through Friday. It's one thing, and even one or two nights is not good, but five nights, it comes down to an issue of listenership for this program.
No, Michael, it comes down to what I've
said
to you
all along,
and that is that there are some radio stations that financially cannot afford to carry your show past 7 o'clock, and this is one of them. Some other affiliates.
This is a radio station.
Programming that runs starting at 7 that they can't preempt.
Correct, but this is a radio station that's owned by our company, and it's a radio station that, as far as I know, you know, our programming is being given to them like as a favor.
No, this is an affiliate of the network, just like anybody else.
Oh, really?
And we have an issue that at 7 o'clock we have an opportunity to take some very important and very highly paid programming, and we need to do that.
So you're screwing us. Well, what happened to the idea of running this important hour of programming earlier in the day when you have an available hour?
I don't know that idea.
That idea was never discussed. Okay,
that's Jeremy's idea.
That idea was discussed with us yesterday. That perhaps you could run this important piece of programming earlier in the day.
So, you know,
it'd be a little hard. hard since it's an on-premise event on two of those days.
You know, I want to make sure that I'm clear on a few things here.
Okay.
You say it's the coach's show. Is the coach of the Ravens?
Think of it as.
Wait a minute.
No, the coach of the Ravens is on one day a week.
One day a week. Right. So this is basically another. What is the show that's coming in at 7 o'clock Monday through Friday or Tuesday through Friday?
It's an hour talk show about. Specifically dedicated to Baltimore Ravens football.
Then why, can I ask a question? Just one question here.
Christ's sake.
It's not the coach and you're not dealing with the coach's schedule, why would it be so difficult to bump that for one 30-minute segment to, you know, when we're on a
roll?
To
move it to 7:30. Why is that
7:30 to 8:30? Is that an impossible situation?
Yes, it's a package.
It's a package of what?
It's a package deal that I've made with the team. To have the coach, players, and 1 hour a night where people can talk Baltimore Ravens football on WJFK.
The 7:30 to 8:30 be a 1 hour package too. I mean, it would be.
If I could have negotiated that, I would have.
Would it be a deal breaker?
What's that?
For that show?
Why? Why?
Yeah. Would it be a deal breaker for the team?
Yeah, but you know.
You mean you would lose the rights to the Baltimore Ravens if you didn't give them 7 to 7:30?
Can't talk to you anymore about negotiations. That's enough. You know, the idea is that's a deal that we made. You know, we are the Baltimore Ravens station here in Baltimore, and that's the deal.
Please. Well, that just stinks on ice, man. I mean, that really, really stinks on ice, and that stinks on ice because what you're doing to our show in Baltimore. And the personal relationship that we may have had going there.
So everybody, when we get on a roll on something, one of the pleasures that we've always had with Washington with Baltimore.
How are we supposed to get ahead there? You know, you and I were just discussing this the other day about the ratings in Baltimore. They're finally making an upswing. But we were saying, you know, because we're on this crappy AM station, that we may never be able to climb that mountain. How are we going to climb that mountain now?
15 minutes after 7, the ratings that you have in Baltimore, which keep getting better and better, are between 3 p.m. and 7 p.m. That's all that counts.
Oh, but the show goes past that.
Right.
And you've always said that this show would be a priority. You've always said that. Always.
I told you it still is a priority, but these radio stations need to make some money. You can't walk away from huge opportunities like that. You just can't.
That's a pisser. You know, I just wish you would have told me. That's all.
Well, that I apologize for. I mean, I never got back to you on it after that first meeting. That is my fault.
And then after the football season, what?
Goes back to regular to regular programming.
Football season runs until January, so.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, yeah.
I mean, who knows what's going to happen between now and January?
Yeah. And there's absolutely no way at all at this point that things might be able to be modified?
No, I don't know that.
All right, hold on now, Ken. Of course, some listeners have questions for you. Yes. Let's go to Rich in Baltimore. Hello, Rich.
God damn it, Ken.
Don't scream at him. Just tell him something.
It's Stan the Fan. I listened to it yesterday and the day before. It is Stan the Fan. They simulcast the show on LIF. They simulcast the football games on LIF. Why don't they just put you on LIF and get this over with?
Well, hold on.
What are you talking about?
Hold on. Don't get the two issues mixed up.
I'm just pissed.
Is Stan the Fan on this show at 7?
Yes.
The only show that Stan the Fan is on is something that goes on Monday night.
The music for Stan the Fan starts, and I turn my radio off, and I'm really pissed.
Now, you said it's only Monday night that Stan the Fan is on?
Yeah, the same show that they always did on Monday nights is they continue to do on Monday nights.
And this is another, and the show we're talking about Tuesday through Friday is not a coach's show. It's just basically a sports talk show.
Yeah, with players and coaches. Well, there are coaches and sometimes the head coach supplied by the Baltimore Ravens.
And Stan the Fan.
No. Stan the Fan is on at 10 o'clock at night or something like that.
And you tell him to shut his big mouth about us. Please.
I promise you that Stan the Fan has never mentioned your name.
Oh.
Can I tell you something? Here's the deal. If Stan the Fan mentioned your name, especially in a negative way, I mean, I can't say he didn't do a promo, but if Stan the Fan said something negative about Don and Mike, I'll toss him.
Anybody out there got a tape of that?
So
If anybody's got a tape of that, and why you would tape the Stay in the Fan show, I don't know. But I'll give you $1,000. Everybody's got a tape of that. I really will. Thank you, Rich. Hold on. Ken, one more listener.
Is that fair?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, we like
on.
That a lot.
Hold on, please. All right. One more listener wants to talk to you. This is the guy that started us going yesterday on this. Glenn?
Yeah, Greg.
Greg, I'm sorry, Greg.
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Listen, a couple of things. First of all, I'm sorry, I pulled over on at a payphone because I was so angry listening to Ken. A couple of things. First of all, that show on Monday night is not a coach's show. It's the same cruddy show with the jocks from the bar. The second thing is, he's right, it's not Stand the Fan Tuesday through Friday. It is Stand the Fan's producers that they put on the air with taped interviews. Oh. That's all the crap that is.
All right.
The final thing is that you pull the tapes from Stand the Fan show, and I can't remember if it was Wednesday night or Thursday night. Of last week, because I called Mikey Rockhead I can't remember if it was Thursday or Friday, trying to get on the air to tell you guys that this was going to happen starting this week, because I heard him mouthing off about it last week.
Do you remember roughly what he said?
Yeah,
he
just said, I have assurances from Ken Stevens, and there's going to be no Don and Mike messing with us.
Hey, listen, Don.
Yes.
Still his brain surgeon. I'm holding a tape of that night show. If he hears the word Stand the Fan in here, I'll eat the damn thing.
Okay, well, you hear the words Don and Mike, you mean?
Don and Mike.
Right, okay, yeah. Brain surgeon. Ken says he's holding a tape of the show right now.
I don't know which night he's... If he's holding the tape and your name isn't mentioned and it's the tape I was listening to,
All right,
tape.
All right. Hold on, please. All right, well, listen. The point of this whole thing is that, you know, we're being taken off at 7 o'clock in Baltimore, you know, for a paid show, and it just stinks.
Yeah, it's just frustrating. You can understand that we're frustrated with that.
Ken?
Yes?
You can understand that, right? That we're frustrated.
Yes, I clearly can hear that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's all about momentum, all that good stuff, and right. Making people that listen to this show feel like they're, you know, they're a part of it, that they're special because they get the whole
thing. I'm just wondering, with all the shows you have on that station, why we have to be the guys that get chopped. The morning guy doesn't get chopped. The midday guy doesn't get chopped. The night guy doesn't get fired. He just gets his shift moved.
And if it's at all possible, you know, I mean, since you're the man, you know, doing all this, we're talking about 30 minutes here. If we could get, you know, the last 30 minutes of our show aired in Baltimore, we'd be very happy.
It'd be just important.
Well, I got to correct you. There is an end time for all the shows.
Well, no, you've told us that there's not an end time for our show. I'm going on what you've told us.
Well, you were just talking about the other shows, and I'm telling you there's an end time for every show.
But you've always said to us that our show goes until whenever.
As long as I could do that, I did that. And when I can do that again, I'll go back to doing that.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, all right.
Right. All right, well, thank you for talking to us.
You're welcome.
Goodbye. What can I say, man?
Yeah, they brought him a suitcase full of money to run this show. That's it. That's the bottom line. You know what's great? That's real, ladies and gentlemen. That is the way it really, really works.
He's a bastard, man. What are you going to do?
I'm only hoping for one thing, though. I don't think we should be relentless in this. If that guy, Stan the Fan, was talking about us...
Yeah, let's get a tape of it, man.
You heard it. He's on tape saying that's it. He's tossed.
Let's get a tape of it. Hello. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don and Mike.
I just hate being screwed by Ken, who should be the one guy in this company, you know, who should be the guy for this show. He should be the one guy in this company for the show.
He should.
He should. And he's not.
He's not.
And once again, we've had it proven to us that he's not.
Sure.
Hello.
Well, you know,
no surprise here.
The one thing that's left out is he doesn't even care about the listeners that do listen to it.
No.
And as I've said to Mikey, you're at the top of the roller coaster. You're about to go for that last ride, and he's turning it off. Yeah. He's turning it off. And last night at 7 o'clock, I was hoping it wasn't going to happen. Sure enough, it happened. And as far as Wednesday, he was mouthing off. Those guys were...
Well, listen, if anybody's got a tape of that, I'm serious. I'll give you $1,000 of my own money because it'll mean that douchebag gets fired.
Well, I'll be running the tape every freaking night.
No, he won't say it now because he's going to be scared.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. We need the tape of him doing it last week.
Yeah,
That's what we need. We need the tape today. Thank you, my friend.
Yeah, take care.
All right. You see the horror we deal with every day?
Yeah, that's a wonderful example of a conversation that you would hear off air as well as on air.
That's exactly how it would play out in the office.
That's the deal. Right? That is the deal.
Exactly how.
Absolutely. Oh.
very frustrating.
What a son of a.
Mm-hmm.
What a son of a he is. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, you know, who's this?
This is Donna Mike. Who's this?
This is Heather. I'm calling from Waldorf.
Yes, hello, Heather, baby.
Well, how are you doing?
Oh, hey.
God, you guys
are
you kidding? A lot different on the phone than you do.
Are you kidding? It's a banner day for us. We've just found once again that Ken Stevens, our general manager, is screwing us.
Peachy keen.
Well, you know, I don't understand. I mean, I've only been listening to you guys for a couple of years. You know, because that's how long I've lived out here. And I know that you guys have a real problem with your show being cut off.
Yeah. Right.
So,
you're very perceptive, Heather.
Well, okay, then. Let's not do that. No, I just don't understand how come that didn't come up in the argument with Ken. I mean, he should know that. He works with you guys.
Of course he knows. No. Listen, he knows that that's the whole point with Ken. Ken is afraid of confrontation. I had a meeting with Ken about syndication on Monday, and Ken is lying when he says he forgot.
Well, of course he's lying. I mean, and I was actually wondering, what nationality is he? Because he sounded like he was from another country, you know?
He is from Uranus.
That is where he is from.
We appreciate the sentiment, Heather. Thank you.
I think she was on our side in that. I think all national shows need an advocate. They need somebody who's going to be an advocate, and it's things like this that just water that down for us. Mm-hmm. It's frustrating. It's very difficult. And you know something, though, through all of that? You know, bottom line, money considerations, we're realists. We know what it's all about, but I'll tell you this right now. If he had told you,
you know what?
Initially, there would have been argument. If he
but I would have gone along
said,
with it.
Look, I'm the boss. That's the way it's got to be.
I would have compromised. The whole point in this is what I just said. We had a meeting on Monday. He didn't forget.
Right.
He just didn't have the balls to tell me. And then it's like a game of chicken where he doesn't think that it'll play out in this arena.
Right.
He would be comfortable with that same conversation me and Mike just had with him, having it in his office.
Right.
So that nobody would know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but either way, whether it happens here or happens in the office, that's a decision he's made. I don't know. Frankly, I don't know what we can do about it. I really don't.
Yeah, it's very, very frustrating.
We're
and
screwed.
I feel bad because, you know, especially with the relationship we've had with the city of Baltimore now, with the, when you figure the Las Vegas-style shows we do up there, the response we get up there,
hey, our numbers are good.
It's very difficult.
Yes, he's correct that our time slot is only rated from 3 until 7.
That's right.
But why don't you ask the sports junkies how they feel about us staying on after 7 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that gives them a nice 7-share lead-in to their show. When you leave us on past our allotted time, all it does is help the next show in line.
Right.
That's all it does. I'm telling you a fact. We got the highest time spent listening in the goddamn country. No radio show has listeners that listen as long as people listen to our show. That's a fact.
Yeah, and it's very, very frustrating.
And it does nothing but help the radio station to leave us on.
Yeah. And you know, when we're talking about, if you're talking about bottom line and somebody bringing a suitcase full of money to put a certain show on,
right,
that's one issue. When you're talking about ratings, which is a long-term situation, it helps to keep this show on for that extra half hour.
It sure does, man.
Sure does. That's, you know, and that's the decision that has to be made, and obviously you heard what the decision was.
All right. Thanks again, Ken.
Money right now, more important than ratings down the road.
Bird in the hand, worth two in the bush. Because you know
the
what?
Way it's always been.
He'll be able to make his budget.
Right.
He'll make budget for 99. He says, screw 2,000.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he's got us by the nuts. Hell, he's got us to a no-cut contract until 2003 or something
Absolutely.
Like that.
That's the way it is. But, you know, once again, if he'd been upfront with that, would have been
not a problem.
Really a much less severe problem.
Not a problem. Would have compromised in a heartbeat.
So the only thing we got out of that conversation, if you were paying attention, was that Stan the Fan issue. If Stan the Fan is bragging about the fact that they're going to hack this show, which they're going to do, obviously, in Baltimore.
Yeah. Then get us the tape.
We'd like to know about it.
Get us the tape. We'll give you $1,000. And Ken said he would fire him. Of course.
Yeah.
Ken's probably lying about that, too. I mean, like, why would we believe him about one thing and not believe him about the other thing?
You just don't. I don't feel like we have an advocate sometimes, and that's.
Oh, I feel like that all the time now.
Yeah, very frustrating.
Oh, please!
Very demoralizing.
It is, man.
Yeah.
It is like being kicked in the nads.
Yeah, it really is.
That's just what happened. I know we have two commercials. Well, screw it. No, frankly, I don't care today. Let's just take some more calls.
Very good.
Okay? We have lots of commercial-free rock today. We'll just play an hour of commercials at the end of the show today. How would you like that, Ken?
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, we just ended today with 1 hour of commercials. We'll just go for 4 hours with no commercials. Then we'll play all of them all in a row at the end of the show.
Absolutely.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, guys. I want to just share my own personal frustration on this thing. I don't care about the money. I don't care about your radio station, for that matter. But when that when your show gets cut off at 7 o'clock, especially in the middle of a segment, which I think is one of your better segments, is, Buzz, the personal frustration that I individually feel, and I'm sure I represent a lot of people, the personal frustration is just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, I know it is. I know.
We're aware
we understand
of that.
That.
You know, this is like the discussion we had yesterday about the station in Detroit.
Yeah.
These guys that manage radio stations, frankly, they don't care about the people who listen. They really don't. That's very obvious. You know, they don't seem to understand that you got a personal relationship going with everybody that listens to your radio station.
Right.
Even the people that hate us, as long as they're still listening, I got news for you. They're customers, baby.
Absolutely.
And all those people, even the people that hate you, the people that love you, the people that just tune in for 5 minutes, please, you got to give them what they want.
Right.
The thing is where we're stuck here is I and nobody else is going to stop listening because of this. We're going to listen up till 7 o'clock.
And I hope you do.
Stevens knows that.
I hope you do.
And
I hope you do, and I hope you continue to tell the ratings company that you
And, you know, realistically, that is how you measure the relationship you have with your listeners, by the ratings. And what you do is if you're going to bring something into the equation, you put it on somewhere where it will interfere with a show that does not have ratings. You don't let it interfere with a show that has the best ratings. You just don't do that.
And you don't interfere with a show that for God's sake, you know, he blows so much smoke up our ass. You know, you guys are the centerpiece of my radio station. You guys, the whole radio station is built around you. Please, patronizing bull ass.
Well, I got
That's
one
all it is.
Say. Hey, Ken, if you're listening, eat me.
He's not listening. He's not listening. He's having a big cigar right now, having a big laugh.
Counting his money.
Sitting back there with the sales manager. They're doing high fives. Yeah, that's right. Show's running every night. Nothing they can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi, Don and Mike. I had a question, Don. Now that, I guess in light of today's developments or feelings today articulated about Ken, does this mean you'll continue talking with him at the grocery store when you see him?
Listen, of course. I don't trust the son of a bitch. I don't trust him as far as I can throw him, but I got news for you. It's not like me and Mike can just walk out of here.
No, he's ours. I mean, we're stuck with him. He's stuck with us. That's just the way it works.
He's the guy. You know, do I hate him right now? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Will I talk to him
right now?
Will I talk to him in the grocery store? If I saw him today, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably turn and walk the other way.
Would you stare at the mole still?
Oh, yes. Yes. Think about it.
You'd buy his tapes, too, wouldn't you?
Right. Yeah. Right. I would buy his management tapes. Hello, Don and Mike. Last call. Hello.
Yeah, didn't you guys say, you said last night you were going to walk if it was after 5 days? If your show was getting cut off for 5 days?
Yeah, and what we have to do is check into our situation. As far as I know, the station in Baltimore does not have the regular agreement
right.
with Westwood One.
Yeah, yeah. They have the same situation as with, somebody that we've decided, okay, yeah, you can have this show.
Right. They may be, as a matter of fact, that might just have been a grandfathered deal
mm-hmm.
when we came on WJFK FM in D.C. where we said to Ken, sure, you can put it on in Baltimore. I don't even think there's anything in writing about that. To be honest, though, I'm going to have to look at the contract first. And if that's the case, yes, we'd like to move the show to another station in Baltimore. Absolutely.
That would be great.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. Thank you. Yeah, see, that's where it gets all junked up.
Right.
You know, with contracts and lawyers
right.
and buyout clauses and all that bull crap in there.
Probably be a lot of stations in Baltimore probably be licking their chops to get those.
I just don't get it. You know, most disc jockeys come in, they can't wait to leave. Most disc jockeys come in at 1 o'clock and they think, great, in 4 hours I'm going to be in my car getting the hell out of here. We want to stay longer.
Right.
Yeah, we can't find anybody that wants us to stay longer.
I know.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's the same problem that half these goddamn stations that we're on.
Sure.
You know, it's just because it's here, it's Ken. We thought it would be a little different, that's all.
Okay.
End of sermon. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah, thanks for your support, and we appreciate all the people calling from Baltimore. We really do.
Yeah,
we know
right.
how you feel. There's nothing we can do about it, and
right.
it's very, very frustrating. And a couple of people articulated exactly what the problem is for listeners, and it sucks.
And I hope you know, maybe in a small way you can relate to this. If you have a boss who's a two-faced, bold-faced liar who lies to your face, maybe you can relate. You know, maybe you could say, hey, you know what? Don and Mike's boss is just as much of a jerk as my boss is. I hope you can relate to that. Because our boss is a jerk on ice. A grade-A jerk.
It's what we live with.
You know, we've been working for the son of a bitch for 9 years now.
Mm-hmm.
9 years. And you know what that's worth? That's worth nothing because somebody came up and offered him $20 more for the 7 to 7:30 time slot.
It also indicates to me just how fruitful our new association will be, too.
Oh, God. Don't even want to think about that. Well, you know what's good, Mike?
We've signed nothing.
Absolutely. Right?
Hear, hear.
Right. We have a gentleman's agreement with Ken right now, just like the gentleman's agreement we had with him about never cutting our show in Baltimore.
Absolutely.
Okay.
All right. This will be cool.
It's all right. Calm down now.
Everything will be fine.
Feeling good.
This is the dog.
You know,
right. Exactly.
Sure.
You know why.
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 I'm the manager.
You know why.
You know why.
You know I.
It's fun when we transcribe it, isn't it? You know I. You know I.
You know I.
You know I.
That's right.
You know I.
It's you know I.
I think. Let's hear it again.
You know I.
You know I.
You know I.
A little bit of better.
You know I.
You know I.
Try it, Buzz. Let me hear you do it one time.
You know I viv.
You know I viv.
You think it's viv? You don't hear the buh? It's viv.
Yeah, there's a buh in there. Let me try it again.
Okay.
You know I viv.
You know I viv.
You know I viv.
Well, Mike, this is your alley.
Yeah,
try it.
I'm actually.
Are you writing it out?
Yeah.
Phonetically?
Yeah. You know I viv.
You know I viv.
You know I viv.
You know I viv.
I think it's, you know, I v-b-b-b.
It might not be a v-b. It might be a v-b-b-b.
You know, I v-b-b.
You know, it might be a v-b-b-b.
You know, I v-b-b.
You know, I v-b-b.
Yeah.
V-b-b-b. That's exactly what it is.
V-b-b-b.
V-b-b-b.
It's v. You know, I v-b-b-b.
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 You know I v-b-b-b.
You know I v-b-b-b.
That's what I've got it, Don. I've got you know I v-e-b-e-d-u-h-b-u-h. You know I v-b-b-b.
Now, let me listen to it again.
You know I v-b-b-b.
Sounds to me like you know I v-b-b-b. B-b-b-b. B-u-h-b-u-h-b-u-h. You know I v-u-b-u-h-b-u-h-b-u-h.
You think it's three b-b-b-b.
You know I v-b-b-b.
You know I vi vi.
It's a v. It's a ve.
Right.
B b e d u h b
I. I think it's vi. You know I.
A bit of well v. You know.
You know I.
It depends on what region of the country.
You know what
it
is. Hold on. What he's saying is
just like the names we were doing.
He's saying you know I've. He's saying the letters. He's saying you know I apostrophe ve.
Right.
And then b b b.
Oh, so you could change it to, you know, I vib bit of b.
Listen.
You know, I vib bit of b.
My voice. There is a D. There is a D in there. Mike hearing Mike hearing a D in there, too, and I hear it, too. You know, I bit a bit of b. Bit a bit of b.
Wait, hold on.
You know, I bit a bit of a.
You know, I love this show. You know, I really love coming to work every day. This is, I swear to God, the most fun you can have. And now we have people calling in.
Right.
And they want to try to translate what our Asholian general manager said to us the other day. Here is Crystal calling us from Wichita.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, what is he saying?
He's saying, you know, I really, really believe it. And he's drunk.
Oh, let me hear this.
You know, I really believe it.
No, I don't think he's
saying, you know, I really believe it.
No, this I believe. Let me just tell you, this was a cranial cramp that Ken ran out of real words. We're just trying to get the sound right.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought you were actually trying to figure out what he was saying.
No, well, we are, but did you hear the conversation a couple of days ago with him?
Well, I listen to you every day, but okay. I'm a new listener. I've only discovered you about a week ago. I love you guys.
So I think it's, you know,
You know, was he a caller? Did he
call? I agree with Don.
No, it's our general manager.
I think there's an I've in there. I think there might be a very quick other V-E sound. I think he might say,
no, it's
you know, I've a bit of a.
I might go with you on that. It might be, you
so,
know,
so
I've
got the, you know, I've, and then you put
vi-
a
the de ba.
Okay, so what you put is you put a, you know, I've a bit of a. That might
you
be.
You know, I've a bit of a.
That's it.
Right.
You know, I've the bit of buh.
This is how they crack codes at the FBI, you know.
You know, I've the bit of buh.
Right.
You know, I'm Vibidaba.
Hello, Kevin. What do you think it is?
I listen to every second of your show, and I listen to the conversation. You know, I really believe it different. You know, I really believe it different.
No.
Is that what you think he's saying? You
yeah.
know, I
you know, I really believe it different.
All right, hold on. Let me hear it again.
Tell me what he says.
All right, let me hear it. Hold on.
You know, I really believe it different.
That's a stretch to say, you know, I really believe it different from
let
that.
Let me just say
I really
you,
believe it differently.
No, you
it's
are,
what he wants, Matt,
you are giving Ken
way too much
credit.
Right.
No, you know, I really believe it different.
Listen to it very carefully. You know, I really believe it differently.
No.
You know, I really believe it differently.
Okay, all right. No.
That was an intentional stammer.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, I'll even know what Ken's saying.
What?
I think he was nervous when you were asking him a question. He was saying, I really didn't, like I didn't know.
Let me hear it again.
You
know, we might need to play it backwards.
Yeah, to see what context it was.
I know how it would sound bad.
I'd be like
scared.
Satan himself, you know, he communicates.
You know, I really bevin.
That would be Hubba Hibbid Iv Vi
Hello,
Why You.
Don and Mike show.
Hey.
Hey.
Don and Mike, buddy.
Right, hi, buddy.
Hey, he's saying I really, really blew it.
Well, let me hear it again.
You know, I really bevin.
No, again, no. You're giving him way too much credit. All you can really understand is the part where he says,
you know, I really bevin.
Once he gets to, you know, I've.
Then it's all.
Then it's.
It's ve-bit-a-ba.
All right, let's go to Ryan in Gainesville, Florida. Ryan.
Yeah.
What is he saying?
I think he says, I exhibited error.
Oh,
you know, I really bevin.
Oh, please,
oh, people.
We're at the studio listening on professional headphones.
He's mumbling.
He's mumbling because he didn't know what else
I've
to say.
Vibidaba.
All right, here's Todd from Wichita. Mike, I think we can agree on that translation.
I've
you know, I vibidaba. I vibidaba.
You know, I vibidaba.
It's a B, Don. It's not a D. It's I vibidaba. Listen to it again.
Okay, hold on.
You know, I vibidaba.
No, I think it's I vibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibib
did it to a bitter.
Okay, wait.
You know, I vibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibibib
Bertha.
But you mean you don't want to give... I think your second, your first buh has two syllables. It's a bit of buh.
Hold on, let me hear it again.
You know, I...
Bit of buh, yeah?
You know I've buh, buh, buh. You know I, no. Blah, blah, blah.
I thought you agreed with me that we're putting the two of the
I's down. Hold on, hold on.
You know I, the bit of buh.
Mm-hmm. Let me hear it again. Hold on.
You know I, the bit of buh.
You know I, the bit of buh.
B-I-bitty-bo, B-O-bo, bitty-bi-bo, B-U-boo, bitty-bi-bo-boo. C-I-say, C-E-C, C-I-sicky-sigh, C-O-so, sicky-sigh, so, C-U-soo, sicky-sigh-so-soo. D-A-day, D-E-D, D-I-dicky-di, D-O-do, dicky-di-do, D-U-do, dicky-di-do-do. R-A-ray, R-E-ree, R-I-ricky-ray, R-O-ro, ricky-ri-ro, R-U-roo, ricky-ri-ro-roo. Hello, Rob.
Isn't there a sound at the end? Like right, an N sound, oh, as he trails.
You know, I Bevan.
Like Bevan?
It's kind of a...
No, it's a Bevan.
It's one of his patented exhales, though. It's one of his...
Yeah, it's just a good one.
You know, I Bevan.
You know, I Bevan.
Those are three. Bevan. Hello.
Yes.
Don and Monkey Show.
He's saying he's very, very pissed.
No.
Oh, you know, I
He's probably saying that now.
Yeah. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi. He's saying, you know, everybody's different. You know, I really don't.
You people. Are you reading that? It's quite obvious he says, you know, I. And then it's open to, you know, it's gobbledygook.
Absolutely.
You know, I agree. Right.
Everybody in this studio agrees it is definitely gobbledygook.
All right, here's Sean in Virginia. Hello, Sean.
Yeah, hi. It might be giving him too much credit, but it sounds like he's saying, I feel very bad.
Well, let me hear that.
You know, I really don't.
No, not
no.
You know, hold on, I might give this guy some credence.
Yeah.
Listen now.
Of all the things, it's...
Because there is a V sound in there, if you listen carefully.
Yeah.
You know, I feel pretty bad.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad.
Yeah, I feel pretty bad.
You know, I feel pretty bad.
Mumbling.
Hello, Brugel.
I don't have any clues as to what the hell he's saying, but if you'll let me take that, I'm going to put it onto a reel so you can slow it down.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. That's what we need.
That'll work.
That's what we need. Do it quickly, though. It's almost losing comments, man. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, Don and my show.
I think, and I thought this from the beginning, I think you said, I've been very bad.
No, he'd never say he's been very bad.
But I tell you, there are times...
I think it was a mental flip.
There are times that I feel closer to our listening audience. We've had a very roller coaster ride with our listening audience today. There are times that I feel very close to our audience. This is one of those times.
Absolutely, yeah.
I thought that from the very beginning, I swear.
Everybody with their serious analysis of what Ken's saying.
You know,
You know,
Hello.
Hello.
Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddies. How you guys doing?
Doing great, thank you.
Good. He's saying at the very end, you can hear the scene in the end, he's saying very big difference.
Now, you're the second person that said that. I don't think so, but thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Hello, Tommy.
Hey.
Hey, what's he saying?
What's happening, buddies?
Hey, Baldy.
I think he's saying, you know, I've wet the bed before.
You know, I really
we have a winner.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes. I think I know what he's saying.
Yeah.
He's saying, I feel very different.
You know, I really don't.
No, but if you think in context of what he was saying, at that point in the conversation, I was just screaming at him saying, why have you done this to us?
What led up to what?
I think I was saying to him, you know, you lied to me. You didn't tell me that you were going to do this to us.
You know, I really don't.
All right, hold on. Here we go. Thank you, my friend.
We're going to analyze in slow motion now.
Slow motion now. Ken, slow motion. Here we go. We're ready.
You know, I really don't.
Regular speed.
All right, back again. Slow it even slower, Robbie.
Okay.
Okay, hold on. Yeah, hold on. Don't laugh. This is important research. Back it up again.
I'm sorry. I won't
count the syllables now. Okay. Count the syllables. You know why.
Yeah.
Go back.
Are you saying that it's three syllables as opposed to the four?
I've always said it's you know why. Listen to it again. Let's count the syllables. Gotta be a little faster than that.
Yeah.
Just a little bit.
Sometimes you can actually lose a syllable if you slow it down. Right. See that? Is actually a bit.
Want it backwards?
Yeah, no, I don't want it backwards. Will you stop it with your backwards? Just play
Has
it
he
again.
Played it backwards yet?
All right.
Okay. Has he played it backwards at normal speed?
He's dying to play it backwards. He's dying
Turn
to play.
Turn on the fader.
Okay. We're just backwards. Oh. Yeah, we got it. What are you doing?
That's the funniest thing.
This is too much.
It's How Good Housekeeping. We know we're the stupidest show.
Telephone.
No, it's How Good Housekeeping. We don't want the award again today. Please, we won it yesterday already. Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Oh,
I think you've got it all wrong. I think he's ready to break out into Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo from Cinderella.
Bibbidi Bobbidi Boo.
Oh, my daughter loves that.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Okay, guys, listen here. I'm a linguistics person, so I have a theory about this.
You know, I really don't.
I think what he's trying to say is it doesn't make a bit of difference.
Oh, no, absolutely not.
But he's
not.
Saying... Bit of difference.
No, I think no.
Bit.
Listen,
you know, I
bit
of
difference. Listen for the difference.
Bit. All right, hello, Andre.
Yeah, he's saying I really beg to differ.
No.
You know, I bit of difference.
Hello?
No, that's bit of. That's not beg to differ.
Bit of. Steve.
Okay, it's like the guy Abu from Seinfeld when he said, Jerry, you're a Betty bad man. He's saying, I've been Betty bad.
No. Where is Ken now? Would it be possible to get Ken on the phone now?
Just to see if he could clarify what he was trying to say.
What he was saying.
And he might admit that it was gobbledygook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
I think he will.
You know, I really
Of course, he might be saying, I drink calf's blood.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, the aforementioned bedwetting.
Are you trying, Kenny?
Yep.
All right, let me know if you get him.
You know, I did a bit of a...
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, one of two things, his southern impression of R2-D2,
no.
or Garrett Morris, baseball been bitty, bitty good to me.
Oh. Telephone, tell Good Housekeeping, stay off the phone, we know we're the stupidest show. Hello.
Hey, Don.
Scott.
You had him so muddled that he had two thoughts in his mind, and it came out like this. I've every bit of difference.
Once
he
again,
said, I've every bit of difference.
Hold on,
but
hold on.
He had two thoughts.
Wait. Hold on.
You know, I've every bit of difference.
No, he's not thinking of every bit of difference. Thank you, though.
Thank you, my friend.
Yes, and I think it's a credit to our listeners. They're trying to help Ken.
All right. Well, we can't get a hold of Ken, so it's a mystery.
It's probably an unsolved... Probably an unsolved mystery.
You know,
Ken Stevens was mumbling.
I had something else for this break, but now we're out of time for this break. I mean, we were going to call a pizza maker in Michigan who found a saucy way to keep his customers happy. He sings them opera.
That's good.
We'll call him on another day.
When the general manager finished lying, he was unable to concoct any more. Therefore, he broke into a spontaneous mumble, undecipherable from the two radio hosts.
And what did he say?
He exclaimed, "You know, I very bit a bug."
You know, I very bit a bug.
Thank you, Robert Stack. Hello, Jennifer from Detroit. Hello there.
Hi, guys. How are you?
You know, God damn it. Excuse me, Jennifer. Let me just say this. God damn it, if we don't get a whole lot of calls from Detroit.
We do.
And yet those people at the Detroit station, 97.1, cannot decide yet what they're going to do with this show.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Well, I wish they would, because you guys are the best.
Well, thank you, Jennifer. You know,
you're very welcome.
Damn it, we get a lot of calls from Detroit.
Sure,
God damn it, we get a lot of calls there.
Yeah.
Hey, Detroit.
Really should be really a no-brain decision.
We hope so. All right, well, Jennifer, hi. What can we do for you?
Well, I just wanted to comment. You asked that lady before if she could fit a can of cat food under her breasts and hide them.
Mm-hmm.
And I can do a lot more than that.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
Probably, you know those cans of chunky soup?
Mm-hmm.
I could probably hide one of those.
Wow.
How big are your breasts, Jennifer?
44 E's.
Oh, my.
44
E's. 44 E's. So not only are you, big, but you got the huge
wide
cup size.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your boobs are as big as Garofalo's ass. This is some big boobs. Now, are you a big sloppy girl?
No, by no means sloppy.
I saw Lady Mo on the lawn over the weekend, and a lady who should not have been mowing the lawn. She was wearing, it didn't even appear to be like a real T-shirt. It seemed to be some sort of satin number, like one of these little, just like tank tops.
Yeah.
And she had to be 58, 59 years old, and she had very large breasts, unconfined breasts that were, and she was going over, she's got a big drought around here, so she's going over this pitted out soil, and she's got her arms on this thing, and her boobs were like bouncing in 50 different directions. Not a pretty sight to see.
These are definitely.
And that always reflects badly on the man of the house.
Mm-hmm.
That if there is a man in the house,
right,
that's the only job that a guy should do, because if a guy doesn't do that, it makes him look like a robo pussy.
Yeah, absolutely.
To have the wife out there. And I can't tell you how many times I've driven past Buzz's house.
Right.
And I feel so awful when I see his wife out there. And Buzz, you don't even get her a nice, it's a push mower. It's the kind that Dukakis used
that's
in that
right
commercial. Where the only motor is Marsha's legs pushing the
absolutely
thing.
Absolutely.
She needs the exercise. It's good for her. And she'll thank me in the long run.
Well, this woman I saw should not have been doing that. Certainly if she should, buy like a T-shirt underneath or a sports bra, but I don't need to see, clearly visible nipples pointing to China. It was very disturbing.
It would be interesting to see.
It would be horrible.
Yes, it would be.
It was not interesting at all.
Interested in seeing any woman naked.
This would have had maybe comic value for you.
I'm always interested in seeing even a big pig. I would like seeing a big pig naked.
You're curious.
You know when we get those gag birthday cards and stuff where it's like a woman that's 800 pounds?
You stare at the card?
I look at them for a minute, yeah.
Sure.
I check it out.
Well, this woman was sleeveless, and I wasn't sure which was jiggling more. Her breasts are actually underneath her arms.
Well, was she a big fatty?
She was not a big fatty. She was fat enough where gravity had completely taken its toll, but she was not in the realm of super fatty, but she also wasn't a thin woman. She was just a woman who was wearing... No, there was no...
Oh, that's where it goes.
He's intrigued. It was the horror.
I love naked ladies. I really do.
It was the horror.
I swear to God, I do. I think about them all the time.
No matter what they look like.
No. No, even the beasts around here. Sometimes I think about them.
Naked?
Yeah, I mean the women that work here at the radio station.
I don't know where you're talking about. Yes, the beasts. The aforementioned beasts that you were speaking of.
No beauty pageant here, I got news for you.
No, I gotta agree with you on that.
I disagree with both of them.
There he goes.
CYA mode over there.
But I can't say, I don't often wonder what those women might look like in the buff.
Really?
I really do.
There may be several women around here that I probably have never thought that about.
I'll tell you, I'll write down a name and I'll tell you one I thought about today.
Here we go.
When I saw her leaning over to pick up
of paper that fell on the floor. And I thought, that wasn't turned on. I just thought, I wonder what she looks like naked. And that was the prime example
of a beast.
That I was going to say that I would never have given that a second thought.
Well, I'm telling you, she leaned over and I thought,
I wonder what's going on there. Really?
Hey,
yeah.
Mike?
Yes, ma'am.
I bet people are wondering if mine are real or not.
Oh, right, Jennifer, who keeps wanting to horn in on the conversation.
I know. We were ignoring
44E's.
We were, ignoring her 44E's.
Well, Jennifer, don't ignore them. They're nice.
Jennifer, are they real?
They are 100% real.
Well, Jennifer, can you give them the test yourself?
And what's the test?
You know what I mean. And if they are that large, then certainly you could sample the goods yourself.
Of course.
Oh, you can do that?
Oh, well, we love that trick. Almost as much as stirring the soup.
Absolutely. Can you do that for us?
Well, I'm in the middle of a freeway here.
Oh, you're in the middle of traffic. Even better.
Oh, yeah, sure. Come on. I mean, if they're that big, for goodness sakes, I'm sure one of them could steer the car for you.
You could actually carry it over your right shoulder like a backpack.
Okay.
All right, good. Let's give it a try.
I'm game.
Are your eyes still burning, Buzz?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay.
I'll be all right.
What's wrong with your eyes, Buzz?
I don't know. I got something in my eyes today, and they've been watering.
Really?
Yeah.
Is it bad? Is it real bad?
It's been rough.
But I'm okay.
Let's be honest, Buzz. What are you crying about? What have you been crying about over there?
Jesus, look at his eyes.
Yeah.
Who said something to hurt your feelings, Buzz? You can be honest.
Nobody. No, it's
you're not doing the Danny DeVito trip with soap, are you?
No.
All right, no such thing.
Did you see one of the women here naked? Is that what it is?
My secret's out.
I have a truck driver watching me.
That woman we were talking about that works here, I would chuck her out naked. I'm not saying I'd want to do her, but I'd chuck her out naked. I really would. I'd like to see what she's like.
I think I just made a truck driver's day.
I think that's good.
I'd be curious to know what, for instance, her significant other sees in her.
Mm-hmm. I understand that. So perhaps there's some unseen bounty?
Mm. Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Perhaps.
Could be.
I'm missing something.
Now you're making me think about it, and I wasn't thinking about it until this. I'm having all sorts of thoughts, like, how does your garden grow?
Right.
Very curious.
That was part of my thought.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a well-tended garden.
With
that person we're talking about.
I certainly, if we were in a wagering situation, I would be with you on that one.
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance.
But certainly not the worst one in this building.
No. No. Not by a long shot. But, you know something? Close to the worst one.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No.
Put down the name of the worst one.
Okay, seriously?
And destroy the evidence immediately, because you know how everybody gets paranoid when we start doing
all right,
this.
Let me look at the list.
I'll write
here.
Down my thought of the worst garden.
Okay, the worst?
All right.
I'm afraid I'm going to probably have to come up with two or three.
Okay.
Hey, Jennifer, can you hold on there?
Yeah, I just want to let you know I just made a truck driver's day.
And I'm just going to write down initials.
What did you do, Jennifer?
I just made a truck driver's day watching me do it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did we miss it? Did you do it? Would you do it again, please, so we can hear it?
Well, is there anything to hear, really?
Well,
I
think so, if you're doing it the correct way.
Okay.
Does she know? Robbie, pick up. I'm going to put you on hold. Robbie, why don't you describe to her exactly what we're talking about?
Delighted.
Well, it requires four words, Robbie, to tell her what to do.
Okay. Three.
Huh? Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Just three.
I was only going to throw in own.
Hold on a second.
Three words.
Economy of words. Did she understand?
Yeah.
I'm good.
Oh, she did. Yeah. All right. Jennifer, you got that?
I got it. I wasn't doing it loud enough for you.
Okay, let's try it again, please.
Okay, ready?
Yeah. That's what we like,
the idea.
That's very nice. Bravo. Very nice.
I made a lot of people's day because I'm in a very little sports car everybody can see.
All right.
And you know what you should do? You should send us a picture of yourself, please, Jennifer.
Yeah. You know what? I will do that for you.
Thank you.
Please
do. Bravo. Please do. Thank you, Jennifer.
Have a great day.
Thank you.
Bye.
You're marvelous.
All-American girl.
You're marvelous. All right, I'm going to have to do this in two tiers. I'm going to have to do younger women and older women.
Now, you're confusing it already. I had already gone to the number one, and I think it should be unqualified. There shouldn't be any tiers.
Well, I've already come up with 5 girls.
You got 5?
That work here on my list.
That are
I'm pretty sure have wild gardens, all kind of weeds growing in their gardens.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Wild. Yeah, I got a solid 5.
I have 2 and they're tied.
I got a solid 5. All right. Here's my number 1.
Okay.
Do we match? Is it a match?
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Fantastic. Terrific. We could win on the match game.
And I believe.
Let me see if they have another
one. We agreed on the other one, right?
There you go.
Right?
Fantastic. Now I didn't look at either one.
Let me show you some other names that maybe you hadn't thought of. That's a mess.
Brilliant.
Okay.
Absolutely.
That one.
You know something?
Come on.
What? You deserve extra. Wait a minute. Those are absolute. I didn't even think of both of, and both of those are all about tied with the original two.
Right.
And is there any other person on your list?
I had five. I came up with five women who work here, whose gardens. Hold
that's,
on.
That's
hold
the list.
On. Hold on. Seven.
I'm writing down the name. Hold on. Wait a minute.
All right, I'm going to add a separate tier.
All right, I've got two.
How about
more.
These three?
All right, here we go.
Okay, here's.
Let's see.
I just came up with her.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go.
The other one, I give you too obvious. I would disagree.
This one here?
No. That one, yes.
Yeah.
The other one, I think.
You think really that it would be. Yeah.
Yeah, because she works hard at it, probably.
No
you
way.
Don't think so?
No way. Absolutely.
What about these three? You forgot her. That's got to be a mess. We agree on that. And this one?
Come on.
Come on.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Those women.
Now, when you say that one.
See, we have to communicate via notes right now.
All right, when you're talking about that
we
one.
We can't say any of these names on the radio.
It'd be terrible if
when
this
you're
got
saying
out.
That
last one, when you're saying that, do you mean that person?
Yes.
No.
Not this lady, okay?
Yeah. Hey, Rob, way to go.
Yeah.
Hey,
this lady right. might win if it was a black hole.
Oh, no!
Okay?
You.
That's all I want to say.
You know that. I think, boy, I tell you,
it's a solid list.
We have a lot of people on that list here.
And all of the women on this list who we're thinking might have weedy gardens,
uh-huh.
Hey, all right, there's not a one of them that I wouldn't at least be interested to see what she looks like naked.
Of course.
Not because I'd want to have sex with them, but because I'm just curious to see what they might look like naked.
Let's go the opposite. The most tended to.
Oh, haven't we played this game before?
We may have, but I'm going to put my list together on that.
All right.
It's easier for me.
The best?
I don't like best. I just like most tended to, but I'll put number one, number two.
I can only come up with maybe three women that work here. That was my number one. Number two, you're dead wrong about.
You think so? Well, is that based on just a recent? Or,
no.
I would say, oh, absolutely.
No. Yeah. I would have had
a lot of time spent there. Yeah, absolutely.
No.
Yeah, I know that.
No. Like a piece of road under construction.
But
I wouldn't be surprised if there's one of those little flashing yellow lights down there.
How about number three?
No. No, I don't think so. I don't think as bad as
in
the other.
In between, huh?
That's one probably.
A tweener?
Yeah. Not a lot of thought put down.
Really? Yeah, really number one would be the.
Well, that's the one I had on my list, too.
Yeah.
You could probably eat dinner off that.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what I think.
Mm-hmm.
Probably could.
Probably, you know, would be the one most likely the one we all want to see.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Her, I think about seeing her naked every time she walks by.
Absolutely.
How about you?
Yeah, me too.
Hello.
What is that?
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
That was a scary sound.
Well, hold on. I just came up with another one that works here. This is just another one in the category.
Hello?
Hold on there, please.
Okay.
Doesn't care.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah. Right? Not weedy, not well-groomed, just.
Right.
Doesn't care.
That would be one that probably wouldn't be that problematic. But,
yeah.
You know, wouldn't be that problem, but also wouldn't be.
Let it ride.
Doesn't care.
Tended to.
Hello. Hello there.
Oh, she hung up.
Is that our phones doing that now, or what?
I think that's a person on the phone with a noisemaker.
Could that be related to your eyes, Buzz?
I don't think so.
I don't know what that was.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Yeah, how you doing?
Hey, buddy.
Are you aware of the fact that Buzz's eyes are almost closed? I mean, Buzz, really.
What, you got a pink eye, Buzz?
Come up to the window, take your glasses off, and show.
Oh, my God.
Oh, Buzz, you really should see a doctor, man.
Yeah, I think so.
Try to stop touching them so much.
Yeah, don't rub them. Don't rub them.
Okay. Where have your hands been?
You know, I wash them. My hands are clean.
Hello.
Hello there.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
How you doing?
Hi.
Calling from Detroit.
Somebody better get Vanessa on the line.
Mm-hmm.
We might need some naked news if Buzz is going to have to be out for eye surgery.
Oh, my God.
Hello.
Be out for elective
eye
surgery.
Where is Vanessa gone? Has anyone heard from Vanessa?
She went to Phoenix, I think.
Ah, she did.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're calling from Detroit. Hello there.
I'm trying to find out who these guys are that they're advertising that's going to come in, be live and local. And
I have no
remember their names. I was wondering if you guys knew who they were.
No, I have no freaking idea. All I know is it's an insult to us that they're going to continue to run our show for two more weeks, yet they are promoting the fact that these schmucks are going to be coming in and taking our place.
Yeah, we have no interest in promoting them.
Never heard of them. However, I've listened to you guys since before you were syndicated when I was in Washington, D.C., and you guys were on WAVA.
Right. Well, listen, you know what you can do really to help out if you really live in Detroit, and I guess you really do? Call the station. You know what?
I called the station when they had the guy before you guys on that I couldn't stand, and I mentioned to them that you guys had a good show that I haven't heard, been able to listen to it over the last couple of years. And then he said, "Well, just wait, never, you'll see what happens."
Well,
and then you guys came when I was so excited, and now I'm hearing this advertisement for Donaldson and something or something.
Well, listen, appreciate it. Don't want to even mention their names though on this fine show,
right?
And this fine station.
In this fine city.
Geraldo. Hello, Don, on my show.
Don, Mike.
Yes, ma'am.
Question for you.
Yeah.
I hear you guys talking about this gardening stuff frequently, right?
Right.
And I just recently started doing the bikini wax thing and that. Where does a person get these gardening tips that you're coming up with?
You mean the gardening tips?
Yeah, I mean,
we're not talking about gardening tips. We're simply judging the level of
maintenance.
Of groundskeeping.
Ah. Okay.
You know, because there are some women who work here who were positive, give no thought at all to that.
But we actually, and it should be mentioned, it's important to mention this, that we really have no idea because we don't have any hard evidence.
Which is why I'd like to see them naked, which is why I'm constantly thinking about seeing every woman that works here naked.
And based on this discussion now, we all feel that way. Now we all are curious.
It's pretty hard not to think about it.
Absolutely.
What's the general consensus that you get?
There is none. There is none.
Everybody's different. Me and Mike are totally different. I think although we're agreed in this, we don't like a big, unweeded field.
No, absolutely not. Right?
Now, you guys were talking about this one day when I was just getting ready to jump on the turnpike and drive home for the weekend, which made me decide that maybe I needed to do a little maintenance myself, so I started doing it.
You know what? I'm sure you did.
Public service. And do you have a significant other who was responsive to that maintenance?
I went out to L.A. the following weekend, and I decided to do, like, the Playboy wax, and that was very bizarre everything.
You can take it too far, in my humble opinion.
Yeah.
Well, I also think you can take it too far. I feel, though, you can go further than you do, Don. I think we've discussed that before.
Listen, whatever you do, don't do the JonBenet look, okay?
Yeah, we don't like that.
I didn't like it either. It felt funny. I felt like a six-year-old with, like...
Oh, you did that?
Yeah. It was gross. I felt like I was sick.
No, that's wrong.
Yeah,
no.
It was yucky. I never did that again. So now I'm kind of going with the Hitler look. And I'm not really crazy about that.
No, that's not a winner either. I would say something.
No.
Everyone we've just been talking about has walked by the window in the last 5 minutes. Everyone. Yeah, throw that list away, Mike.
Right. Somebody got a match?
Throw that list away.
Yeah, really.
Listen, thank you.
Should you do the sides or top what?
Yeah, do the sides.
Don't do the sides.
Go ahead. Don't do the sides. Ma'am, there is no rule. Everybody landscapes different.
Right.
Okay.
I'm a big one for the sides.
Just be neat. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
Thanks.
Be neat. Have a nice lawn. Just make sure it's well maintained.
And if you're listening to me, turn your triangle into a rectangle.
That's a good call. That's a good segment. We'll be back right after this.
It's the best of Don and Mike.
You know, I hate tooting my own horn, but I do want to point out again to those people who enjoy throwing it in our faces that we are not actually in show business.
Yes.
I would just like to point out, and I'm sure you'll have this waiting for you at your mailbox when you get home today, Mike.
Did you get another one?
And you'll notice the postmark, Hollywood, California.
That is right from Hollywood.
Screen Actors Guild.
Which you and I are members.
It is another one of the major residual checks.
How much is the windfall this week?
For our appearance on Babylon 5.
And the total is?
After taxes.
What'd you get?
After taxes. Taxes. They take out taxes.
Taxes.
Oh, that's worth not even worth the paper. $2.64.
Yeah! I got it right here, the last one, I think.
Before taxes.
Right.
$4.55.
Those add up.
Yeah, they took out federal tax, Social Security, Medicare, and California state tax.
That is exciting. I tell you, just add it to the Hollywood screenwriter's kitty.
Show you that right there. Rob,
yes.
As has become a tradition on this show, would you please get me a lighter?
There you go.
I will once again thumb my nose at the Hollywood Authority, and I'm going to burn...
There you go.
...yet another residual check.
Fantastic. It's worth it.
That's right, because I thumb my nose at Hollywood.
So glad you've never asked me to do that, because I have saved all of mine.
If I could, if I didn't think we'd get in trouble, I would use it after a nice BM.
Well, you probably wouldn't get in trouble, but I don't think we'd want to see that. No.
Well,
we'll watch the burning.
Yeah, okay. We'll burn the check as soon as Rob comes in with the... with the matches. Robbie?
Does he have a... Rob, did I steal your Zippo? Do you have a Zippo lighter somewhere?
Somewhere, but Miss Terry is closer.
Okay, very good.
There you go. This is the sound. Listen now.
Mm-hmm.
That's the sound of a Bic lighter. And there it goes, Mike.
Very good.
From Warner Brothers Television Productions, pay to the order of Don Geronimo, $2.64.
You are a major effing star of
Babylon,
the highest order.
Babylon 5, Voice in the Wilderness.
There it is.
And let me see if you can hear this. I guess there is no sound to this flame.
No, Don, it would be a log that crackles.
There it is.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Oh, major fire. Major fire in the studio.
Oh, dear. You still holding it?
It's gone, Mike. I'm now to the part of the check where they just have the deductions.
Oh, there you go.
There it goes.
Now, Mike, do you burn your checks?
No, Buzz, as I said earlier, I saved them all. And that, right now, I believe I've got a total of $16 in the bank.
Oh, wow.
Based on those checks.
I've burned at least $12 worth of checks, man. Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting every time we have a check burning in here.
Rob, is that situation under control? Yeah, Rob, why don't you go get me a fire extinguisher? I'm serious.
No, we're okay.
I'm serious. Go get a fire extinguisher.
Are you all right?
Well,
the boy put it in a plastic...
Oh, the plastic's on fire.
He put it in a trash can.
That can be dangerous.
That can be dangerous.
Put it out.
There we go. Pins out.
Stand
on.
Pins
out.
Watch your eyes.
Watch
your eyes.
God forbid we ever have a real fire in here, because there's going to be no fire extinguisher left.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
That did the trick, didn't it?
Yeah.
Looks good.
Fire's out.
Oh, come on. You know you want to give it another... No, don't give it another... Smell that. Oh... Oh, my God.
Hey, Mike.
Oh, no. Don't even think about it. Oh, wow.
Here's one for you, Buzz.
All right.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man,
oh, look at that. I got it all over Buzz's window.
That's the first time that window's been cleaned in years.
Boy, it's cool. Do you feel how cool that stuff
is?
Sure,
it's fire extinguisher, Mike.
Oh, I can't. Don, it hasn't gotten to you yet, but you're not going to be able to breathe.
I don't think that there's a smell.
Oh, there it is.
I can smell it over
here.
What's
wrong with you? What's wrong? Are you human? Are you human? Are you a human being?
I smell a little something now. That's refreshing, man. That's a good smell. No, really, the smell has not reached me. Maybe because I was spraying it in all other directions.
Oh, man, that's powerful.
I guess that's why firemen wear gas masks and stuff, right?
Right.
You okay, Mike?
No.
Man. God. Yeah, it's dissipating. That's good. It's dissipating.
Yes, Robbie?
The window's open.
How are you, Rob?
I'm great. I'm really effing great. The window's open, and because of, I believe it's designed to disperse quickly for the safety factor, so I think we're all going to be okay.
How can the window be open? We don't have any windows that open
the door's
studio.
Open.
The door is open.
Yeah,
okay.
Just not the fumes.
Okay.
All right, maybe I'm getting a little something now. Maybe I know what you guys are talking about. It's a little stronger than nail polish remover.
Chemical smell is what it is.
It's a little bit.
Chemical.
Well, Mike, when you're fighting fires...
You got to fight fires.
That's what you got to do.
But yeah. God bless you for grabbing the microphone at the same time as the fire extinguisher so we could hear.
Thank you, bud. Oh, we just had somebody on the phone and I just hung up on it. Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's a furball.
Hello.
Yes, hi.
Hi there.
Don.
Yes.
I was wondering if you know what happened to Jack Diamond.
What do you mean, what happened to him?
I heard he's no longer on the radio.
Oh, that would be a happy day, but no, I haven't heard that, sir.
Oh, well, that's a rumor.
All right, thank you.
Really?
Well, that's a good rumor, if it's true.
Hello, chase that one down. I'd like to find out if that's true or not.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, kick ass! Woo!
Okay, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yes, today is Chris Burke's birthday. Can we get a tribute?
Yes.
You mean the great Chris Burke?
The talent that is.
He's 34 today.
Do we have a copy of Poison Ivy?
Yeah.
I'm getting a little lightheaded. I'm not being facetious. I'm getting
like
a little bit lightheaded. That is potent stuff. That
what's in there? Can somebody read like what can happen if it's in a closed space?
Fire extinguisher stuff, man.
It's better than burning alive, Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
I don't know what those other people were calling about, but I'm not calling about that. I'm calling about something else. Okay. You guys want to know what?
Sure, I'll ask what, sir.
I'm calling about my butt.
All right. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello there.
Hello there.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, this is Kara. How are you?
Hi, Kara.
Hi. I was calling because I know yesterday you caught your wife on the cell phone.
Yes, I did. She accidentally turned on her cell phone while she was in the grocery store, and we got to hear her for what seemed like an eternity.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that happened to me, too, about 3 years ago. And what it was is a guy I was dating at the time, pretty seriously, he accidentally hit his cell phone and called me.
Hold on. Are you okay, Mike?
No, I am not.
Would you like a moment to leave the room?
I just might want to take a walk down the hall. I'm just kidding. I'm going to be all right. Let me keep it together here. But that's, I just got, the room's moving around, guys.
Wow.
It really is.
And she's gone.
Oh, boy.
The girl with kaleidoscope eyes.
Man, oh, man. Boy.
All right, now it says on my screen, this must be from the engineering department.
Uh-huh.
NCR check paper, and that's the paper that the check was written on,
right,
is carcinogenic.
Uh-huh.
Halon displaces oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Get the doors open now.
Okay.
So apparently that would be why we're feeling lightheaded, because there's a lack of oxygen in the room right now. But the door is open. Besides, it was a small check, man. It was only for $2.64. It was a very small check.
Right.
It wasn't one like one of those big, gigantic checks.
Right.
And it certainly was not like one of those Who Wants to Be a Millionaire checks.
No, not like that at all.
Did you watch that show last night?
Yep.
You're about to fall over.
I did.
You?
I did. I watched that show.
You are about to cradle over, aren't you?
I watched that show.
And what can you tell me about that show?
No, I didn't watch it last night. I didn't watch it last night. I watch TV, though.
Well, hi, Kara?
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so anyway, I was dating this guy at the time pretty seriously, and he called me by, he didn't know it, but on his cell phone he hit send, and I was really into him at the time, but while he was calling, he was painting a house with a friend.
Yeah.
And I'm one of those people at that time anyway that I'm very against any kind of drug use.
Mm-hmm.
And well, during this call, he was using a plethora of different drugs that I had no idea that he was into.
Wow.
So I ended the relationship.
All right,
and then
well,
I ended up marrying his best friend, who was there with him painting the house.
Okay. Oh, man.
You okay, Mike?
I'm fine.
You okay?
That's fine.
You're turning a little green.
That's okay.
Hello.
That is okay. That's
Hello.
Weird. You've done that in here before.
Yes, we've unloaded the fire extinguisher
before. Wendell, what the hell is in there?
Wendell?
What is that crap?
Reading the label here, which, of course, you have no time to do when you're fighting a fire.
Right.
Warning, the concentrated agent, when applied to fire, can produce toxic byproducts. Avoid inhalation of these products by evacuating and ventilating the area.
Ooh.
Do not use in confined space less than 700 cubic feet per extinguisher.
Well, is this less than 700 cubic feet per extinguisher?
Which shall I get first, a measuring tape or a fan?
Get a fan.
I'll be right back.
You know, also the trash can liner was burning, so you had burning plastic fumes in the air with everything else.
Oh, really? I'm fine. I swear to God, I'm absolutely fine.
I can smell it, but I'm okay.
I'm okay. Are you all right, Mike? Oh, Mike's read the label. Now he's lost.
Right.
We won't get right. Mike back for a while when he starts to read a label. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
He's the Don and Mike Show.
The best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. What are you reading? What are you reading?
Agent, when
share it with the class.
Can produce toxic byproducts. Avoid inhalation of these products by evacuating and ventilating the area. Do not use in confined space.
That's the same thing Wendell just read.
Per extinguisher.
Okay, here's your fan. Hold on. Here comes a fan. What's the problem? Can you guys plug the fan in? What's the deal there, Robbie?
We were just discussing whether it'd be more effective to blow air in or suck air out.
Put the fan right up by Mike, because Mike is feeling the effects of this. I'm feeling fine now. Buzz, you feeling okay?
I'm okay, yeah.
Yeah. All right, Robbie, how you feeling?
Yeah, like normal.
Okay. Uh-oh, then plug the fan in, Mike. Here you go. Here's
you know,
the fan right now.
A little
right.
Hungover, but not bad.
Let's mic that fan. Could you get that fan mic'd?
Yeah, point the fan like where the stuff is all on the wall and then blow that over here. Get the goddamn fan in the doorway where the fresh air is, moron.
Oh, don't yell at them. Oh. When you were reading the label, I told them to put the fan there,
mind
you. Okay.
Please.
Put the fan right next to the...
I told them to put the fan
put
there.
Put the fan on top of where I sprayed all the stuff and then blow that on me.
I told them to do it.
Who knew?
Jeez.
Come on.
But with you and with, you know, with Gristlehead, I know it takes like 8 minutes for anything to get to your cranium.
Fine in here.
I am fine. I'm feeling a little... lightheaded. That is all. I don't think there's that. You said if I look pale.
You look a little green. Jeez. Just a little green. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike kickers!
Hello.
How are you?
Hello, Don and Mike. Jason. Mike, here is a firefighter on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Hello. For those who serve. Hello, Jason.
Hello, how are you? Set the fan in the door and point the fan blowing into the studio, and that'll force all the air out. All the old air out of the studio.
Already done.
And put fresh air in.
Already done, says Fire Marshal Speedway.
What can this stuff do to you?
I don't know about that. I usually don't blow it in my face.
I didn't blow it directly in Mike's face.
No, it's just dispersed in a confined area like it said on the fire extinguisher. And my question, once again, would be, what can this stuff do to you?
Oh, I don't think it's going to kill you. Just spray some fresh air, it'll be okay.
I think it's like any aerosol, like when kids do that type of thing, you know. I mean, that's, you get lightheaded.
You might get limp as dickus for a while.
No, that'll never happen.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, is that the first time Mike has ever said goddamn on the radio?
Oh, no, he said it many times before.
Yeah, just, I've rarely said it with that much vigor.
I enjoy throwing that out. Mike saves them for special occasions.
That's right, when I'm really emotional.
I do know that's the first time I've ever been called a gristlehead. And frankly, that hurts more than the Lord's name in vain.
I apologize, Rob, but I stand by my statement.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Oh, man.
Hello.
Hello?
Hello, you are on the air.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
It was better than Mallet.
Mike investigative team for this.
Mallethead was going to be my original choice. You know? Mallethead is just so trite.
It doesn't reflect the way I eat.
Gristlehead. Like
gristlehead.
The kind of gristle you find on steak they serve with steak and eggs.
Sure, you can chew on it and then spit it out.
There you go, and it still tastes good.
It tastes great, Mike.
Gristlehead, man.
I'm coming out of it. Can you tell I'm coming out of it?
Yeah, good. Yeah. Good. Welcome back to the world.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Is he down?
No, he just took a mouthful of water and spit it out all over himself. You're a funny man.
See, I'm doing psych gigs. I'm okay.
Hello.
Hello, Don?
Yes, sir.
I need the Don and Mike investigative team for this one.
For what, sir?
I work down on K Street, 19th and K Street downtown.
D.C., right.
D.C. There's a guy in the 1900 K Street building who spackled his window this morning at 9 o'clock for the world to see. And, of course, I had to look across and see...
Wait. When you say spackle, you're talking about he actually...
You mean geased with relish?
The man standing up by his window at 9 o'clock this morning.
Don't start a sentence with no.
That's the Dennis Murphy rule. Oh, and I got to tell you, hold on. I promise I'll come right back to you. Stay right there. I have to tell you the latest on Dennis.
Is there something new with Dennis? A new development with Dennis?
Well, you know, we set him up for a month to take the bus trip today with the 50 listeners to go to King's Dominion.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole part of the trip was that Dennis was going to be the house mother for the trip.
Right.
Dennis was going to have the wireless microphone. Dennis was going to have the cell phone.
Right.
Dennis was going to phone in the reports. You remember that even in yesterday's episode, Dennis Murphy called late in the show, and he said, hey, I need to talk to Charlie, or to Mike Rockhead, to find out the details on where I'm going to catch the bus.
Oh. Right.
So we gave him all the information, and this morning at 9 o'clock, all the listeners were on the bus. 50 people are there. The bus waited for an extra hour, and guess who never showed?
Dennis
P. Murphy.
Oh, my God.
Unbelievable. So unless he is, you know, lying on his floor,
right,
you know, with his body starting to decompose, at this point,
not.
Dennis would be on the OUT list.
Oh, my God. Really? He didn't post?
Yeah. Wow. So there's no leader for the group to King's Dominion today.
Oh, my.
I don't know how we're going to communicate with the 50 people who are on the party bus.
That's amazing.
Because, you know, we didn't give them the equipment and stuff.
Right.
So, right now, I don't know what's happening. If you do know where Dennis Murphy is, please give us a call. Hold on, here is the producer holding his nose.
Why are you holding your nose? You take lots of calls from lots of people. Tell me right now why you're holding your nose.
It stinks in here.
Because of the fire extinguisher thing.
He had to breathe.
What? Hi.
What?
You heard me.
Okay, don't call me that again. Do not ever call me that again. I'm feeling very, very lightheaded.
Okay.
Boys.
All right.
Make nice.
All right.
I'm sorry.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Apology accepted.
Thanks. Why did I come in here?
I don't know. I didn't call you in.
You're holding your nose. Dennis.
Remember I told you he'd probably drive himself down there?
Right.
He's there.
Oh, he is there.
Yep.
What about the equipment, though? We couldn't give him the equipment because he didn't show up.
Well, the telephone is what we were going to have him use.
Was there any explanation given by Dennis about why he was late?
Haven't spoken to him.
Okay.
Somebody called. He was getting ready to sing karaoke.
Oh, my God. All right, so I guess we will hear from him at some point today.
Okay.
Thank you, Chuck.
I couldn't make it on time. I just couldn't make it on time.
Mr. Murphy. Okay. Well, listen, what else did you want to say?
Well, this... You're talking to me now?
Yes, sir.
All right. This guy, I was told by a buddy of mine, if I can get through, he'll find out the guy's name and where he works.
All right. This was a guy who was supposedly, what was he, pleasuring himself?
He was pleasuring himself up against the window.
Like for everybody to see?
Well, he was looking down, I guess, to make sure no one was watching. He didn't figure that people work across from him that are up above him.
What floor was he on?
He's on the fifth floor.
On the fifth floor?
He's wearing khakis and a green shirt.
Was he observing, was he doing anything to... help him along, or was he just, like, engaging in some little fantasy?
I don't know. My guess was a fantasy. He wasn't holding anything else, like a magazine.
Like a magazine, guys. All right.
Okay, all right. Well, we'll put the word out. If anybody saw a man pleasuring himself high above K Street this morning.
All right.
1900 K Street.
All right. All right, okay. We don't want to get you. Give us this cubicle.
We got you. Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike,
hello.
Radio Baby Jesuses.
Hey, is this Nathan?
This is Nathan in Modesto, California.
Yes, hello, Nathan.
Yeah, I'm working on a low budget adult film, and the main character in the movie, he ends up going crazy and hearing voices, and he listens to the Don and Mike show all the time, and I was wondering how you felt about having Don and Mike dropped in the movie.
That would be fine. You mentioned this was a low budget, what is it, low budget porno?
Yeah, it's very, very low budget.
Is it low budget like you're going to view it in your living room and that's where it'll end?
Yeah, it's got a few scenes in the living room, a mattress on the floor, you know how it goes.
Who's going to watch this movie besides you when it's done?
Well, we're going to distribute it from, let's see, Northern California all the way down to Southern California and then hopefully all the way across to Virginia.
No, I guess we don't have a problem with that, do we?
Well, I have no problem with it at all. You think you're going to get a major distributor for this thing?
Not yet. We're not even going to really be marketing it that much. It'll probably be sold at a few flea markets. That's about it.
Who knew that you could buy porno at flea markets?
Flea markets. Wow.
All right, sure. Yeah, go ahead with our blessing.
Table number five, sir.
Thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Hey, buddy.
Chesticles to all.
Right on.
I was one of the original writers of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Wants to be a millionaire.
Wants to be a millionaire.
We were thinking more along the lines of a blonde host, say along the lines of Pamela Anderson. Or other hotties like that.
Really? I don't think Pam Anderson would be a good host for a game show.
No, she wouldn't be able to keep up.
Who do you think would be a better host?
Than Regis? I don't know, but certainly not Pam Anderson. She's as dumb as a box of rocks. She makes Regis look like a Mensa member.
It's a game show. You need Tom Kennedy.
You know, one of those dudes.
Tom Kennedy,
yeah.
Jim Lang, Bob Eubanks, Dennis James.
Peter Tamarkin.
Peter Lecoq. Peter Marshall, that was Peter Marshall's real name.
Fine game show.
Who wants to be a millionaire with Peter Lecoq?
Were you really a writer on that show?
Yes, sir, I was.
Jack Barry.
In what regard were you a writer for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
When they wanted to come up with a concept, we figured what would bring in the most amount of money. And then 900 schemes came into it. AT&T entered the picture, and we came up with people calling to answer questions.
But isn't the actual idea for the show, isn't that like stolen from Europe?
It's a British game show.
Well, we had a lot of concept shows.
He's lying.
No, this guy's full of crap.
Right. He is lying through his teeth, definitely.
Gentlemen, I'm sorry to hear you're having a problem because of the carcinogens in your fire extinguisher.
No, you're lying because you were never really a writer for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
And the carcinogens were in the check, not the fire extinguisher. You got that one wrong, too.
Not only is this guy lying, but there's like consecutively now running, there are five versions of it running across the world.
Right.
So, I mean,
of that show, you mean?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, now everyone's a brain surgeon on the Mike show.
All right, goodbye.
Who wants to be a dumbass? Goodbye. I watched it last night, and I think we... Robbie, don't we have the phone number for the guy that was on last night and pussied out? It was a guy from Virginia.
Right.
Have you noticed that most of the contestants on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire are from D.C., Maryland, Virginia?
It's astonishing how many make it to the final, right?
Maybe it's because they're cheap and they don't want to fly anybody like from the West Coast to be on the show since they tape it in New York.
That's right.
But they had a guy on last night. The guy's a real nerd. I read in the newspaper today, this guy is like a game show expert. He's been on Card Sharks.
Oh, really?
Jeopardy. He's been on a ton of different shows.
And he got to the $500,000 mark.
Yeah,
right?
And then they let him look at the question for $1 million, which I know we discussed yesterday. We don't like that philosophy.
Sure.
They let him look at it, and he backed out.
Yeah, he wussied out.
And I thought it was a relatively easy question. It was who won the first Grammy for hard rock metal in 1989? It was...
Jethro Tull.
Metallica. Right. In Living Color. Jethro Tull and someone else. I thought it was a pretty easy question, but the guy backed out at the last minute. Anyway, point of this being, we have his phone number, and at some point today, we will cold call him to see how he feels.
So if he took the question and got it wrong, he would have lost the 500 grand, right?
Right.
Yeah, okay.
But it was a pretty easy question.
I mean, well, it was easy for us, but maybe he was just completely stumped by it.
And he was out of lifelines. Yeah, that's right. He had wasted all his lifelines.
Wants to be a millionaire.
You know, it's a funny kind of a thing, but you know, I feel better after I got all that off my chest. I feel like a load is off my shoulders. You're good. Doc, thank you.
Mr. Beatty, I didn't do anything.
Oh, you did something?
No, I did nothing.
You did something?
I didn't.
The load? Gone. Where is it? Don't know. You're good. No. You're good, Doc. You're good. I'm going to be getting in touch with you.
Don't.
Oh, just one more thing. If I talk to you and you turn me into a fag, I'm going to kill you. You understand?
Could we define fag? Because some feelings may come up.
I go fag, you dying. Got it?
Done.
Simple.
Mm-hmm.
Huh? You're good, Doc. You're good.
If you haven't heard it, it's...
Like playing Russian roulette because Tony Perkins is on one of these lines on hold.
We're not sure who we're going to talk to first.
Tony?
Hello, Don Mike.
That's not Tony Perkins.
This ain't Tony Perkins. Hello?
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 Yeah, I'd say, I don't think you sound like no Aster.
All right, that's not Tony Perkins.
Hello, Tony? Tony?
That is the deadline.
Okay.
Tony is not there.
Tony?
Yeah, it's me.
Okay. From Good Morning America, Tony Perkins.
How you doing, Tony?
What system you got there? I'm great. How are you?
All right. Now, the first thing we have to say to you, shame on you, Tony Perkins, that when we were thrilled that you gave us that little plug on Good Morning America.
Uh-huh.
So yesterday, our producer, Broyhill Gadget, he calls up Tony Perkins. He says, hey, Don and Mike would like to talk to you to say thanks for the plug.
Mm-hmm.
Then he told me when he called you today to set this thing up that... Why would you think that we were going to use this opportunity to bust your balls?
I wouldn't. I didn't really think that. But, you know, I've listened to the show for so long, all of a sudden I just realized, wait a minute, I know what these guys do. What am I doing?
Not in a million years, Tony.
Not to you, Tony. I will tell you, Al Roker has done dick for us. You are the only national weather guy that's ever said our name on TV.
Of course. You know. You're a good guy, Tony.
Big fans, Tony.
Hey, it was my pleasure. I'm a big fan of you guys. I've listened to you for years and years.
And I should tell you that Tony and I went to American University together, and you know, you've done good, and we're all very proud of you. Congratulations on getting this this incredible gig with with Charlie Gibson and Diane Sawyer.
Not bad company to be in.
Pretty cool.
All right, a bunch of questions about that, Tony.
Okay.
How come they don't let you do more stuff on the show?
they are, I think that we're going through a period where they're easing me into things. During the last few weeks, they've let me do a little bit more. And in fact, I just had a meeting about this the other day. Because, my thing is to get out in the field and have fun and meet people and all that kind of thing.
So. You don't mind that. You actually like going around the country and doing the traveling. You're doing a lot of that, right?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Okay, Diane Sawyer.
Yes.
Okay. Let's talk about Diane
Sawyer. Calm down, Rob.
Now, I know that, you're going to say what you have to say, but I'll ask the question anyway. What's she like? There's a word that comes to mind when I think of Diane Sawyer.
Beautiful?
Uh-huh.
Charming?
Starts?
Talented?
No.
Yes.
Starts with one of those letters, though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, hold on. Before that, let me ask you this. Do you miss Morris Jones?
The question is, do you miss Morris Jones?
Oh,
every
man.
Night, Tony.
Don came in here with tears, Tony.
Hey, you should see the Ken doll they replaced him with on Channel 5. My God. The guy's a load.
Okay. He's auditioning on that show, Third Rock from the Sun, to be the real big giant head.
So Diane Sawyer.
I can't speak for Channel 5 anymore. Yes, Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer is a society girl. I'll put it like that.
Yeah, I would say that.
How do you, a young urbanite, mesh with,
good question.
The upper crusty Diane Sawyer? And I bet her crust
urbanite. Too. I like that.
Young urbanite. Young successful urbanite.
Sounds like a rap group, actually. Diane, I get along great with Diane. And I'm not just saying this. I really am not. She is very, very nice. She is down to earth. She's very loose. Before the show, she's dancing around and singing Motown songs and stuff. So she's very, very cool. We get along great.
And Charlie, how do you get along with Charlie Gibson?
So I get along. I actually have known Charlie for a long time. I knew him. I used to work at ABC as a desk assistant like 15 years ago, and I knew him then.
Was that an AU internship that you had there?
No, actually, it was after AU.
Oh, really? Well, that's kind of sad, Tony, that you were a desk assistant after AU. But that's all right. We won't discuss that.
You ever spend any time with Elizabeth Vargas?
Not aside from on the air, no.
Oh,
well. Do you like her?
Do I?
Don has a Jones for Elizabeth Vargas.
Really? Hey, she's not doing Michael Douglas anymore.
Well, I never knew she was. I didn't know anything
she
about
was,
her.
And now Michael Douglas is getting it on with Catherine Zeta-Jones.
Yeah.
I thought Michael Douglas was married.
I don't think he's married anymore.
Not anymore. Don't you know what he told his wife? He was screwing around on her with all those other girls, and he told her that he had a sexual dysfunction.
Oh, that's right. I remember that.
He was he was obsessed with sex.
That's right.
His wife didn't believe him. He divorced him.
And then Buzz had a story yesterday on the news that Michael Douglas was on an island off
in the coast of Spain. Right.
With Catherine Zeta-Jones. Wow.
Michael Douglas has to do the best he can as long as he can because, the looks are starting to fade.
Sure.
And fame and all that. So
listen, you guys on Good Morning America, now you got the whole new crew in there.
Mm-hmm.
How tough was it to clean up the mess from those the last show, that Lisa McCree and that guy with the glasses?
Kevin Newman was his name.
Right. How tough has it been to clean up that mess? You guys are doing better in the ratings, right?
Yeah, ratings are good. Ratings are up. Congratulations on your ratings, by the way.
Oh, thanks.
Thank you, Tony.
Ratings are up about 26%. They cleaned that up before I got there. They hosed out the studio, sprayed disinfectant, and then we came in and did our thing.
Tony, the pressure of being a national weatherman?
I think in some ways it's less pressure than when I was doing it there in Washington because I've only got 30 seconds to do the whole nation, and, obviously you can't do everything, so what can people expect?
And you really don't have to know the weather, do you? You just look at that cartoon map and point at the regions of the country.
The cartoon map.
You have a little cartoon thunderstorm, your cartoon sunshine, and, it's pretty cool. But you like going out into the field and doing that more than actually saying it's going to be sunny here and cloudy there, right?
Absolutely. That's why I took the job, to get out and meet people and do fun stuff.
Would there be any chance when one of the two main ones, when they take any time off, any chance that you could slide into that seat?
That subject has not come up.
Well, what you might want to do is take Charlie Gibson out one night and just get him really loaded. That would be a real, real good move for you. And then Charlie Charlie doesn't strike me as the type of guy that probably knocks a few back. You just take him out and then put him on the unable to perform list.
Yeah, he seems pretty straight-laced to me. I don't know if that plan would work or not.
Have you been able to socialize with Charlie and Diane at all?
Not really. Partly because I think of the hours that everyone works. During the week, there's not that much time to socialize. And then on the weekends, I actually come back to Washington. I still, my wife is in Washington. I've still got family and friends there. there. So
you are alone in Manhattan all week long?
Yes, I am.
Really?
Oh, man, alone, really? In Manhattan. Sex in the City.
Imagine that.
Fantastic.
You know, that'll make your marriage last a lot longer, what, spending a week at a time away from your wife. How long have you been married, Tony?
I've been married 4.5 years.
How come, she got a career going here or something?
Yes, she does, but, it's kind of, that's the hardest part of this whole thing, because we do miss each other.
And you actually commute back and forth. I mean, do you stay the whole week up there? Do you come back, during the week?
No, he stays up there all week, I bet.
No, I spend the week here and then come back to Washington.
That's cool. And so you're happy with the gig?
I'm happy with the gig. I'm looking forward to doing more. I hope that comes about relatively soon. And that's already started to happen during the last few weeks. And it's fun. It's a good gig. I have to say, in Sacramento, I was a little humbled because, I get there, and literally, I'm not making this up, the first three people I meet, they say, "You're that guy from Good Morning America." I say, "Yeah." They said, "Oh, I know who you are because Don and Mike have talked about you." They were more excited about the fact that you had talked about me than the fact that I was on the show.
I only wish the Good Morning America cameras had been there for our Las Vegas-style show.
Yeah, I heard it was pretty good.
Oh, my God. the one thing I've seen you do on that show, when they put you in a situation, because you're a very affable guy, very likable, very good with people, very good with the man on the street. You know Tony's best at?
Right.
Tony's best, like when he worked at Channel 5, going out on the street and busting a guy's balls, but the guy who's having his balls busted
thinks he's being complimented.
He wouldn't know that he's having his balls busted.
Absolutely.
That's like your best talent.
Yeah.
You notice that. That's good. Thank you.
But I've noticed recently, like, that when there's a disaster or something,
mm-hmm.
they send you out to the disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you have to stand there, and of course, it's a sad situation, so
right.
you have to be all down and stuff.
Right.
How do you do that, man? How do you go out, like, when people are killed and there's a big wreck or something, you got to go. How do you get it together for that?
It's very weird because you wouldn't think I would like that, having the comedy background and all that kind of stuff, but your adrenaline gets going. It's the two situations I've been in that were real rough were the tornadoes in Oklahoma and the brush fires in Florida. And you're right. I mean, people have lost everything, and it's terrible, but the fact that you're there, you're showing the devastation that has happened and showing what it's actually like, your adrenaline kind of gets going. In a way, it's kind of a strange thing, I guess, but I don't enjoy meeting people when they're down and out, but I enjoy that process of covering that type of thing, maybe because it's so different. I don't know.
It's the same kind of adrenaline that Buzz gets when he runs in here and tells us that a major celebrity has passed.
Exactly. He's kind of excited about
it. Sure. It's sick, but it's true.
Mm-hmm. You got a bunch of cool Good Morning America clothes now? I mean, like stuff with logos on it?
A hat.
Just a hat?
All right.
I swear, that's it. They've given me a hat.
Well, you know, it's the budget over there.
You ever, when you come back on the weekend, you ever come back and turn on Channel 5 and just throw your head back and laugh? You go, man, that used to be me. Channel 5. Never? Never laugh?
No, I don't.
Never? No. You ever call Sue Palka up and go, hey, Sue, it's me.
I saw Sue Palka last week.
Did you really?
Yeah.
So you walk around, you know, just kind of, you move your foot along the carpet and just go, Sue, how are you doing? You made it big, Tony.
Hey, listen, I know you won't tell us the exact figure, but they pay you a lot of dough to be on Good Morning America?
It's a very rewarding experience.
Ah. Translate, he's making loads of dough.
Way to go, Tony.
Loads of dough. And what kind of deal do you have? Is it a firm contract? How many years?
Well, I mean, you know, how firm is it in network TV? The guys before me had, not Spencer, but Kevin and Lisa had firm contracts, and that lasted eight months, I guess.
So you have it in perspective.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you're going to be there for a good long time.
Yeah, even if they can, the other two. You'll be there. You know, you'll be a fixture there, I think.
Well, I hope so. I'm having fun doing it so far. It's pretty cool.
And what about, here's the one thing about Good Morning America.
I did want to give Tony one idea, though, that I think might really work well and really help, because I think you've got the personality. This is an original idea that I've always wanted to tell somebody that does this. What you want to do is you want to get people that are, say, over 100 years old, and show their ages on TV, and then get them to start sending you pictures and stuff like that. It'll be really, really good. Like, get a jam company to sponsor.
You guys, you're obviously very competitive with the Today Show.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. How come you want to do this? Now, you guys are moving to a new studios, right?
Yes, in September.
Okay. Don't you, frankly, think that that's already been done? The idea of, like, being down in Times Square and having all the goobers come by when you're out? And are you going to have to go outside and do the weather?
Yeah, there will be times where I'll be outside and I'll do the weather.
Wouldn't you rather just be insulated from people and just be alone in your studio?
Well, I mean, it depends. I wouldn't, you know, I don't think, you know, when you see other folks doing that kind of thing, a lot of times it's just, they're just kind of standing out there and people are yelling and screaming and that's all it is, which is nothing significant if you ask me. I mean, if I got the chance to actually really interact with folks and talk to them a little bit, I think that could be very interesting because you never know what you're going to get.
Yeah, there's also a chance you'll lose your right hand if you do.
Well,
that,
that's
so.
Very true. I will have heavily armed security guards around me. But you know what? I mean, I think that that thought has actually entered my head. Well, you know, are people going to say you're just doing what the Today Show is doing? They'll say that anyway. But the fact that CBS is going to be doing the same thing when Bryant Gumbel gets there, that's just the way they do the morning shows now. Everyone feels like that's what you have to do to jazz it up and make it exciting. So it's not that one person is copying another one. It's just that everyone's saying, hey, this is the way to go now.
ABC has not asked you to gain 200 pounds, have they? So that people might think they're watching Al Roker.
I don't have to gain 200 pounds, and we're trying to stop my hair loss.
Oh, beautiful. Tony, last thing, what time do you have to get up in the morning and do that show?
I actually get up later than I used to get up for Channel 5. I get up at 4:15.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah, sleeping in.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad at all.
So then when you're done at 9, sometimes you guys have to redo the show for the West Coast, like
exactly.
If something happens?
Exactly. You do West Coast updates.
But actually, the labor and the hours are actually better than they were at Channel 5?
Yeah, you know what? It's for me, it's a standard. I always tell people it's a standard 8-hour day. It just starts much earlier.
All right.
I'm in the office till about 1:30, 2 o'clock.
Okay, and finally, I know I said this as a joke before, but I mean this seriously now. What message would you have for Morris Jones if he's listening right now?
Morris, good luck.
Tony, you're such a good guy. You're so wrong to think we'd ever bust your balls, man. We're huge fans of yours. That's no lie.
And I tell you, I speak for a lot of people that went to school with you. Tony's always been a great guy, and we're very proud of you. Congratulations on this great gig. Nobody deserves it more. I told you that in private, and I'll tell you that right now, because I know you deserve it, and it's a great gig for you.
Well, I appreciate that, and I really miss you guys. We have to get you guys on the air here in
Tony,
New York.
Tony, are you familiar with the station called WNAW?
Yes, I am.
Okay, keep listening to that station.
Oh, good.
Okay, all right. That's all we could say.
That would make me very happy.
Tony, you're a beautiful man, and thank you for joining us.
Thanks, Tony. Hey, listen, thanks for the plug, Tony.
My pleasure. I'll do it again sometime.
All right, beautiful. Thank you.
All righty.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so he's a pretty decent guy.
Oh, great guy. Mm-hmm.
Tony Perkins.
Great
you know,
guy.
Normally somebody that we know has any level of success,
right.
We're very resentful and we immediately hate them for having any success, but it's pretty hard to hate Tony Perkins.
No, Tony's been, you know, he spent a long time in Washington, too, and he's really a good guy. We appreciate the plug, really.
Yeah, he deserves it.
Right.
He's a hell of a lot better than Al Roker, for goodness sake.
I like the question about getting to ask you to gain 200 pounds.
We will be right back.
Program the best of Don and Mike.
As we speak now, my wife should be at the airport.
Where's she going?
Oh, she's picking up my son today.
Oh, that's right. I thought she was leaving town.
No. She's just picking up Marty. And not only will I be glad to have him back, because after 3 weeks, you know, I really realize how much I miss that.
Sure.
And how much our lives revolve around him. But it will mean no more middle of the night calls. And
right.
Last night, his last night in Europe.
He did it again?
1 a.m. to 30 a.m.
Oh.
and 4 a.m.
Oh, wow.
The 1 a.m. call was just to tell us that he was all packed and ready to go.
Right.
Then the 2:30, I think it was 2:30 call, was another head-shaving call.
All right.
Then the call, like at 4 a.m., was a call to say he's sorry that he called at 2:30 to ask if he could shave his head.
Have any of the other boys shaved their heads on this trip?
He said there are about 60 kids on the trip. And 45 of them have shaved their heads already.
Oh.
So that is the million-dollar question. Now, when he steps off the airplane today, will his head be shaved or not?
Now, when he's getting off the plane, I guess all the boys will be getting off at the same time.
Yeah, so they all get off together.
Quite a moment of suspense, seeing all those bald kids getting off the plane, and then there he is.
So anyway, glad that he's coming back. And I have another family note. There's a chance today, I don't want to say this is 100%, but my brother called me, my brother the earth dog,
yes,
you know, the dirt ball, my brother called me last night. He is driving his 18-wheeler up 95. He's going from Florida to Philadelphia.
The new one?
Yes. He has, incidentally, he has his daughter with him.
Oh, really?
His daughter is making the trip with him, and he wanted to know if it'd be all right if he could fit it in his schedule to come by the show today.
Oh, will he bring the truck? I love the truck.
Of course.
We'll go and play with the truck.
Right. Of course, that's how he's getting around. So no guarantee based on simply his time schedule, depending on what kind of time he makes.
Good. Well, I hope he makes it up here, because I'll tell you, the last time he came up with this truck, we drove it around the block.
It was
so very cool.
We had a fantastic time. So, you know, my brother the Earth Dog may be dropping by today.
Good.
No promise on that. You, Mike, actually, you made my day today, and I'll tell you why.
How?
Because you didn't go to that goddamn swing dance class last night.
I know, I didn't. I was too late, and I was trying to pretend that I was disappointed to my wife, but I wasn't. I had a lot of apprehension. I was late, and I was just kind of glad I didn't have to do it.
You know how things go with us, that like, if your wife hears something on the show,
right,
on the odd occasion,
that I'm doing something nice for my wife, I knew the way you
reacted.
You
immediately get it, and I would get it, because, listen, last week when we were on vacation, you know what my wife said to me?
No.
She said, because keep in mind, my son was in Europe, so we're spending, you know, 24-7 together.
Right.
She said, you know what would be fun? We should take a square dance class together.
Oh.
And I looked at her, and I said, are you out of your mind? I said, I don't like to dance, much less square dance. And she said, well, that she has friends and that, you know, the husbands that really love the wives, that they take them out dancing and all this other crap. So I didn't even mention it to her last night. Mike said to me when we were leaving the building yesterday, he said, oh, I got to go to the swing dance class that my wife signed me up for. And I didn't say anything to you.
Yeah, I know. And I know why. And I knew that. And that went without saying. And that's also why I know you didn't want to talk about it, because if we talk about it, then, you know, it's going to happen.
You know, my wife was saying, look, Mike O'Mara is taking his wife to a dance class. Why can't you take me to a dance class?
I have to give you all the information, because I'm going to get in trouble at home if I don't give you all the information, though. And I don't mean to blindside you here, but there's something I had to agree on. Because we didn't go last night.
What?
Private lessons in the house. She said, because I was sitting there, and she at one point...
You know what? You conveniently didn't tell me that today up in the office.
I didn't tell you. Because
very convenient.
I was not trying to set you up, but I mean, if I say now, if she's listening and I say, you know, no more, don't have to worry about it, then I will... What happened was I got home late, and we couldn't make it to the thing, and I was trying to hide the fact that I was overjoyed at this development, that I wasn't going to have to go down. Because I don't want to go down to walk. First of all, to be a half hour late, walk in with all the other people that are in there. You know, who knows what kind of people do this. And walk
idiots
in.
Idiots do, Mike. No offense, but idiots do.
To walk in and do this. And Laura and I have gone to, like, the big band places and done that kind of freeform dancing, which I enjoy. I know that as soon as it becomes a task, it's going to be a pain in the ass. Mm-hmm. It's going to be something where you're going to be like all those people that I've seen, because you know, I used to be a club disc jockey. That's before Don discovered me. I used to be a club disc jockey, and I used to do the country dancing, the line dancing. And I watched the people come in who had
boogie woogie woogie,
who had actually gone to the classes and watched their feet as they dance with serious expressions on their face. Because it's no more dancing's supposed to be spontaneous, and you're supposed to bounce around, and that's why. But in the moment, because I didn't want her to feel, she was very disappointed. She had her hair like done in this little way that she was like, I knew that it was like, you know, the dance studio look. She had that kind of look when she was waiting for me at the end of the driveway.
Oh my God.
But then I looked and I said, and we're driving away, and I said, man, it's 10 of, and we're not going to be down there until 20 after, and I don't want to. And she said, you're right, your schedule is just. And I'm looking at her going, is she really? And then she was cool about it, and she said, you're right. No, it's your schedule. It's not your fault. And as soon as she said that, I'm like, why? She said, but, you know, maybe we can get private lessons. I know that if I hadn't said yes, I knew that I was going to. Right. It was simply a matter of convenience, of an evening of hell or an evening where it was going to be pleasant.
So
and
when will these private dance lessons for you and your wife start?
That I don't know. That hasn't been scheduled yet.
You know, she's working on it, though. If you gave her the okay on that.
Yeah, maybe she is. But
she's working on it.
Well, you know, it's just going to have to fit with the perfect schedule. And, you know, when you're trying to set up a private lesson, that's just, it's not an etched in stone. You have to negotiate about that and get it right.
You got all day free. You got all morning. You got lunchtime.
That's not accurate. I do not have all day free.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, not
what
in the summertime.
You play golf during the day.
Exactly. Now, would that go? Wait, if I'm on a golf course, is that free?
I don't think so. You could have one day a week.
Oh, yeah.
One day a week that you could take a dance class with your wife. You know, why am I saying this? Because you really do end up go ahead and doing it. I'm going to get the residual pressure right. from my wife.
I know you are. I know, and that's why I know when I brought that up, I know the very reason. There, under normal circumstances, if it wasn't something like that, you would have been all over it. But I knew.
Gone on the air with it immediately.
But I knew the reason you weren't, because you were going to feel. And I didn't know that your wife had asked you to square dance, which is, in my opinion, I mean, on the scale of awkward, embarrassing
dancing. And we don't even like country music.
This is the Don and Mike Show. The Band of Don and Mike.
Last time I danced with my wife was maybe at my wedding. And that's only because you have to dance
right.
one dance at the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm not a big dancer.
I know you're not.
I'm
not
a big dancer.
Well, I have not heard anything since I agreed to the private. You know, who knows if the person at the oh, yeah. Now I'm doing that. Now every yin-yang's going to call the show.
Just call the business line. Jesus. Just call the business line and leave a message for Mike.
20 years before I get, you know, get hip to what I'm supposed to say and what I'm not supposed to say? Gee, but, I you know, only if they're doing it. But I know. No, there's a incidentally, that's already been taken care of. We already have an instructor.
Oh, yeah.
We have a winner. We do. We have a specific instructor that she wants to use and no one else. So please,
okay.
No calls.
All right. Well, at least no calls here on the disc jockey phone. Just leave Mike all the messages at the front desk.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See, I'm talking very boldly now because I haven't heard. My wife obviously hasn't called to say anything about it, so I'm guessing she's deep in the bowels of the airport now and can't even hear the show. So I got like a free pass right now.
Well, you've been in that position before where you are so happy. You're so euphoric. You realize that your Tuesday night is going to be great, that you're just going to go out
right,
and you're going
to
eat.
Don't have to take your wife to a dance class.
But then you have to talk. Oh, dear.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no.
All right.
Oh,
geez.
Here's the
hello.
Just to let you know, I'm listening.
You've been listening. Are you at the airport yet?
Yeah, I'm driving up.
You know what you are, honey?
A bad mother.
Don't make me
no,
say
I'm
it.
I'm a bad mother.
Don't make me say it. You're a bad mother.
Yeah, you are.
When I talk to
you, a bad mother.
I talked to her at 10 minutes before the show started, and I said, are you at the airport yet? And she said, no, I'm just leaving IKEA. And I didn't even have to say anything. She knew right away what I was thinking. Bad mother. A good mother would have been at the airport an hour before the boy's plane arrives.
Waiting so she can greet him at the gate.
I guess a bad mother married a bad husband.
Why am I a bad husband?
You know why. I don't even have to say.
No, why am I a bad husband?
You know, because I when you were saying you thought I was at the airport because I didn't call, why would I waste my breath? I only do that with you on vacation, say something absurd like that because I'm bored.
No, but listen, hold on.
I don't know the answer, no, before I ask.
But wait a minute, hold
anything.
On. Honey, just be honest with me. Let's say that you're just listening to the radio, and all of a sudden you hear Mike say, hey, I take my wife to a swing dance class.
Yeah, right.
You mean that I'm not going to come home, and I'm not going to hear this, I'm not going to hear, if Mike takes his wife to a swing dance class, why can't you take me to a dance class?
I think we both know Mike's a better husband than you are.
Whoa!
Okay.
All right. I know that
Jesus.
I know that is a comical remark,
yeah,
and I will not
is.
Distinguish that remark.
I do, too, unfortunately. I almost got softened up there for a second.
I thought that you were both equal on the seesaw, and I think Mike just tipped his side with a little bit better husband.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I apologize.
Oh, you're right.
All right. Goodbye, boo-boo.
Okay, goodbye. Hey, I love you.
I love you, too.
Love you. Should have been there earlier, though, honey.
Bart dances swing with me anyway. Bart and I have been to a swing place together, which is really pathetic, but that's all right. So what if your son becomes kind of like a weird mama's kid because you won't
honey.
Do anything with your wife?
Honey.
Now I know.
He
I
is
am
not
sorry
becoming,
I even brought it
he
up.
Is not, when's the last time you took him dancing with you?
When we were in New York.
All right, when was that, last summer?
Yeah.
And I don't think it's unusual when you're at, like, a hotel, you know, for a young teenage boy to dance with his mom.
No, it's not unusual at all for him
not
to be
unusual.
His mother's favorite companion. No, I'm sure that's very normal and makes for a healthy
honey, was I even
adult.
In New York? Hold on. Was I even in New York with you guys?
No, because we went on to a play, which you don't like to do. We did a whole bunch of stuff you
right.
don't like to do.
Right. Listen, here is the encyclopedia of me, okay? Let me tell you about this. How long have we been married now? Almost 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever known me once in those 18 years to say, hey, I got an idea. Let's go to La Caja Fall. Have you ever known me to say, honey, I got a great idea. Let's go square dancing together. You know what I mean? After 18 years, baby, these are the ABCs of me.
Okay? All right.
To quote Mr. Jerry Maguire.
You know what? That's why I'm telling you I didn't bother to call in. When I say these things to you on vacation, it's just like to fill time. It's just filler.
But you did call in, though.
No,
I'm talking to you.
Because I wanted to show you I was listening, because you said, oh, yeah, I must not be listening because I wasn't.
Well, you know, I thought you weren't listening because I was positive you're a good mother. You're already at the airport.
I'm at the airport. I'm looking for a parking place.
Go to the valet. A good mother would spend the extra $5. Honey, his plane is going to land, I'm serious, in 1 minute.
No, you're going to be the only. It was supposed to land 5 minutes ago.
You're going
to
be the only parent that's not at the gate.
Well, they have to go through customs.
Honey, that's awful. Please, just double park the car and get in there.
Yeah, all right.
All right, you want to talk about scarring a child. You know, that's how you scar a child, not by making him dance with his mommy. You scar a child by having he gets off the airplane after 3 weeks in Europe, and he's the only one going, hey, where's my mom and dad?
All right, goodbye. I see a parking place, and I didn't even have to pay the valet. Okay, love you.
Well, hold on. You know, how come we're at the beach, though? When I want to drive around and find a free spot, you always say to me, why don't you just go to the parking lot and pay the $5? You know, it's a double standard with my wife.
Because
really
I have to carry all the stuff to the beach.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. That's the deal we do, that you look for a place and I carry all the stuff to the beach.
Well, listen, today bite the bullet, pay the $5, get the good parking
spot. No, I'm already parked. I'm getting out of my car right now.
What section are you in?
I'm in, I don't know, 26.
Are you parked as far away as we had to park when we dropped him off?
I'm in that neighborhood, yeah.
Are you in the satellite lot?
No, I'm in that area where we parked. It was the hourly rate.
All right. Okay, well, hurry. Run to the airport, please.
I'm walking fast.
Okay, I love you.
All right, love you, too.
All right, bye-bye.
She's actually out of the car right now and walking through the parking lot.
Right. Is that what you're doing?
Hello.
Well, there she goes.
All right, I won't say anything more about it.
No, that's all right. I don't care.
I won't say.
That's okay.
I'm sorry I brought it up.
No, I brought it up. It was my mistake. You know, I had it written down on my little sheet today. I had two things I was talking about. Bart's coming home.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Jimmy might be coming by. I said, Mike's first swing dance lesson.
How did it go?
I was
well, now that it's out in the open, if it happens, but I mean if it happens, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But I took her to the bath store after that. You know, the Bed Bath & Beyond store, which is really...
That is not a trade-off for having missed the dance lesson.
No, it's not. I mean, I was still happy. And there was stuff in there. There was a good... I bought a new hygienic trimmer for safe, precise trimming of unsightly nose and ear hair in there. And they had grilling things, which I didn't realize.
Bed Bath & Beyond?
Bed Bath & Beyond. Lots of supplies for the grill, which I was surprised at. And I was happy. I was happy with that.
Hold on, what...